about.
Some neighbors are saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You're supposed to be up cooking breakfast or somebody, and so that's like an alarm clock. Woo woo!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, this is Tim Allen for Kevin.
I want you to know this. I want you to carry this with you for the rest of your days. No one makes fun of Tim Allen on my watch and gets away with it. Don't say anything. Just keep that in you, okay?
I'm going to speak very slowly because you're probably stoned right now. Your urine tested off the charts for THC.
How's Taco Bell gonna make money off of that?
Thank God that happened.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's the way I like it.
Roll another one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Just like the other one.
I think I'm gonna need to change my pants.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I hope you get a copy.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Will Glenda be there?
Roll.
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 Lubbock, Texas. Hello.
Just like the other one.
It's entertainment, baby. That's all.
This one seems to be about to end.
Open wide for Chunky.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, I'm going to be responsible, all right, for partying until my nuts catch fire.
That joint.
Still not funny.
Still not funny.
Just pass it around.
And now.
Well, that's the best story I've heard all day. That's awesome. I love that.
Whoa. Have you ever heard the Three Bears?
Our feature presentation.
What was that?
What was her name? Sarah Silverman's comedian
Tick
friend.
Tick Nagaro.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Comedian. Very funny. I haven't seen her around much lately.
Mm-mm.
You know what I love? I love those guys in the middle when they say, what do the football players say?
It's our time to shine?
It's our time to shine. And one guy says, it's our time to shine. And then the other guy says, I'm serious.
I've never noticed that.
He hasn't said anything yet. But he's serious about the message that the other guy just said. I love that.
Well, it's like that's what I'm talking about, even though you haven't said anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing. It's just some sort of confirmation. Hey, welcome on into another Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday. This is interesting, I thought. Every once in a while, you'll see a survey where they – not a survey. You'll see a study where they find out what people will do in a certain situation.
Right.
And in this case, it was Symantec, who I guess – aren't they – they're like a computer security firm,
I think Symantec
is, right? And I don't know why they were interested in this, but they intentionally lost – 50 smartphones in cities around the United States and Canada, all over North America. They left phones everywhere.
Oh, just to test?
To see what would happen.
Okay.
See what people would do, right? Newspaper boxes, park benches, elevators, places where the public would spot them, right?
Right.
All the phones were loaded with tracking and logging software so that the Symantec employees could physically track where they went and keep track of everyone who picked up the phone, what they did with the phone, like how much poking around they did, what
right.
sorts of things they looked at on the phone, whether they tried to return the phone, that sort of thing. Well, what would you guys do if you're walking down the street? You walk by the bus stop out in front of the radio station, and there's somebody's smartphone there. Do you just leave it? Do you pick it up? What do you do?
I'd give it to anyone that's around that maybe
was in charge. Like,
yeah,
turn it in.
Turn it into
somebody. Yeah, it was a bus station.
Bus station. Yeah, I'd turn it in.
Well, if it's a bus stop out in front of the radio station, there's nobody.
There's nothing there.
There's no booth. There's nobody working.
I'd probably
leave
it there. Or maybe I'd leave a note or something. I don't, or probably steal it.
I would think I would try to find, you know, usually people put emergency numbers in their phones, so I might call someone like that on the phone.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. So you
to see if I can
number.
Track them down, yeah.
Well, the first thing I would do would be look for porn. I mean, obviously, that goes without saying.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think we're all just, exactly.
Right.
I think we're all assuming that we look for porn first and then whatever
I'm
else
sorry,
we
I
do
didn't
after
say
that,
it,
right?
Because I figured that was assumed.
That's obvious.
Right.
By the way, speaking of that emergency number, it never occurred to me until my wife brought it up to me a couple of years ago that when, you know, like I have an iPhone, for instance, and you have your most dialed or whatever
right.
your favorites, your 12 phone numbers are on the you know the front page when you open your phone, and she said nobody has any idea who any of those people are by name. You need to put something on there so that not you know the emergency responders or the people who find you in the ditch or something like that, so they know which one to call. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I put wife in parentheses next to her name, which I thought would be helpful. You know, at the hospital or something.
And
like
then
that,
like hooker next to that name.
I just thought that was a really it was a good tip of something I had never thought about, because if they see a list of names, they don't know which one is your spouse.
I also have a listing of ICE, which is pretty common in case of emergency.
ICE.
Mm-hmm. So you put in ICE and then you put a name. So on a phone, I would also look for that.
I don't know what ICE means.
It means in case of emergency.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
So I have three people listed under ICE.
Why would I call for ICE? That's what I would think.
Well, here's what happened. 43% of the finders clicked on the app that had been placed on the smartphone that was labeled online banking. And I guess I don't know whether that's just that they're nosy or they just are, you know, they were just curious to see how much money this person has, or if they're looking for a way to actually access it and get some money out. I don't know if there's any way to tell which of those they're doing.
They're probably going to add some in to make up for it.
53% of those who found the smartphones clicked on the file named HR Salaries.
Interesting.
A file named Saved Passwords was opened by 57% of finders.
Oh, my God.
Now, those are people who are planning on digging around if they're looking into your saved password file, right?
Yeah.
Social networking tools, like if you had a Facebook app or something on your phone, and personal email were checked by 60% of the people.
Wow.
But wouldn't that help you maybe find the person?
Maybe, could. I guess.
I'd put a category in there of nude pictures of myself. See what percentage of them go to that. Because you don't know if it's a guy or a girl
That's
at that
true.
Point.
That's
a folder
true.
Labeled private photos
yep.
tempted 72%.
Yes.
How is that not 100, by the way?
72.
How do you find a phone, see the words private photos, and not click on that?
Yeah,
right?
You don't. You have 28% liars.
So no, because they tracked it. This isn't what people told them. This is what was actually done.
There are old people like my mom who don't know how to do it.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe that's what it is. Collectively, it was 89% of the people who found the phones who clicked on something they probably shouldn't have. Unless it's, as you're saying, Lisa, unless it was in an attempt to find the owner.
Yeah.
By the way, maybe they're just trying to be entertained for a while before they turn it in as well. I mean, it's not necessarily
that they're going to do
stealing
evil.
It. Yeah.
And the final number is, in case you're wondering, how many of the finders tried to return the phone to its owner? It was 50-50.
50-50%.
Could have been better. 50-50.
I lost my wallet at a McDonald's one time, and I had something in it that had my phone number on it, and I got a phone call. I didn't even know it was gone at that point.
Oh, that's nice.
And I got a phone call from somebody, and they said, I have your wallet. I'll meet you out in front of the McDonald's.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
There was not much money in it, but it was still there.
Did you get a reward?
It was still there. No, I'm just kidding.
You bought him a Big Mac.
I don't remember if I gave him a reward or not, probably. I mean, I had like $3 in there, so I didn't think it was in danger of that. It's just your license and a couple of
credit cards.
Giant pain.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It's a pain.
But that was cool.
I would have sold it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Unfortunately, yes.
LaQuisha will be here looking at Jersey Shore.
Hi.
Always love that.
Yeah.
Jensen Karp will be on the program. He's the guy that runs Gallery 1988, and he's got a new thing called Is This Thing On?
Tribute to Weird Al, ladies and gentlemen. Art gallery showing that is a tribute to the greatest human ever, Weird Al.
You're too smart to get a man. We hear this from time to time.
Listen, I'm so lucky I found someone because
men
are brilliant.
You're so intimidating just to have a regular conversation with you, Lisa.
Men are turned off by smart girls is what we hear. Now, I think that might be true sometimes, but I also think perhaps there are times when the smart girl is also a bit of an a-hole. Let's be honest.
Possible.
Let's be honest.
It's very possible.
All smart people run the risk of thinking they're better than other people because they're smarter than other people.
Sometimes they're not good at hiding it.
Right, exactly.
And sometimes they have social problems too, by the way.
That's correct. True. If yes. you're really, really smart, that is often the case.
Well, this listener that we're speaking with apparently is very attractive. In fact, has been approached several times by modeling scouts.
Wow.
So it doesn't sound like she's smart but fat, and she thinks it's smart that's keeping guys away.
Get an email from her? With a picture.
No picture.
Well, it's the internet, dude. We need a picture.
Well.
No, I'm saying we're not going to take her word for it that she's hot. Because
I prefer to think that she is.
But because, again, just like you said, anyone can say they're hot on the internet.
But right. Let's assume she is hot.
Okay.
And then we'll talk to her.
And then we'll find out what else is wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're a pretty good judge of character of people on the phone, by the way.
We think that until we have a singles party. And then we go, wow, we were off. Ralph has a secret break today.
Oh, please no. Come on.
Which is basically making fun of either Bean or myself. In this case, I'm starting to get the wonderful feeling that it's Bean. So that's good news.
Yes.
We have tickets for April Foolishness. Mm-hmm. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Movie Beat. And we have Adam Scott.
Wow. That's
Friends
a lot.
With Kids. So that's all coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I don't know a lot about Andrew W.K., the singer, but I do understand that he likes to party hard. Is that accurate? Would you say that's true?
I don't know.
True?
I haven't gotten that message yet.
Really? Well, we're going to talk to him coming up after the top of the hour on the 10th anniversary now of his big debut album, I Get Wet. He is apparently partying till he pukes all over the country, and he's in Southern California for a few days. Plus, that's coming up. And, Ralph, any hints on the secret break that we're going to hear next half hour or two?
Just some more archaeology, some more radio archaeology, where I dig into the ruins of your career and bring up some fossils.
Look, everybody has stuff at the beginning of their career that they're embarrassed of.
Yeah.
And so we like to enjoy it.
Exactly. I don't get your point at all.
Shouldn't we just let some things lie? I mean, do we really need to go back and excavate? Shouldn't some things stay buried?
Those who do not remember history are doomed to repeat it, my
friend. That's
correct. So this is to keep you from being bad in the future. You'll say, ooh, that sounds like something I'd do in 1984. I won't do that again.
He's never had that thought once in
no,
his life.
No, he never has. Nope. In fact, there's an enormous amount of similarity between being now and being then. So
how dare you?
You can be the judge yourself.
All right. Those are both coming up here in the next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the show. Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
And I did want to make a quick correction that Jensen Karp, our friend who's got the art gallery, his show is this thing on is a art exhibit dedicated to many different comedians, not just Weird Al.
But only the Weird Al counts, though.
No, all of them count.
When Bean said it was Weird Al, I thought it was exclusively.
No, it's all kinds of comedians. There are a few Al pieces, and Al is hosting the event. But there's an enormous amount of art for a wide range of different comedians that people are honoring.
I gotcha.
Just wanted to set that straight so people don't think it's a Weird Al event. It's
Look,
a lot
if
of
if Megan Fox is at the party, it doesn't matter who else is at the party. It's a Megan Fox party.
Conan O'Brien, Louis C.K. There's an enormous wide variety of comedians who are being given tribute to via the fine arts.
That's good to know.
At the Gallery 1988.
And they get to hang on a wall next to an Al painting.
It's going to be a difficult sell, I'm just telling you. Hey, happy middle name Pride Day, everyone.
Do we need to do this again,
yes,
really?
Yes, every day I'm going to tell you what days they're telling us we need to celebrate. Until we talk to whoever's in charge of giving out days.
Is there a gateway that everybody has to go
through? That's what I want to know. Apparently there isn't. If middle name Pride Day exists, there isn't some sort of board of governors who gets to say yes or no about days.
Middle name Pride Day.
So I demand you all call me Joseph for the rest of the day because I'm so proud of my middle name.
Wow.
Registered Dietitian Day?
No.
Yeah, a day we celebrate all the registered dietitians.
Nope.
Is that the lunch ladies with the hairnets?
Yeah.
Barbie Day. Barbie debuted on this day in stores in 1959. She looks good for an old broad.
She does.
Get Over It Day.
I like it.
Already am. Get Over It Day. It's a bad idea for you to tell me that. And Panic Day. It's Panic Day. Ah!
How can it be both Panic Day and Get Over It Day?
I don't know.
It's true.
Competing days. That's why we need to talk to the Board of Days to figure out how they make these decisions and how they rubber stamp some of these decisions.
I think when you list these, you should come up with one that we'd like to.
We should come up with our own day?
With our own day.
All right, I'll work on that.
Every single day.
I'll work on that. Whitney Houston's daughter. Oh, you just sound like Stewie from the Family Guy there.
Whitney.
Whitney Houston's daughter will inherit everything.
Nothing for Bobby?
Nothing for Bobby. It was announced yesterday that Whitney changed her will just shortly before she died, and everything goes to 19-year-old Bobby Christina.
Do they know what it's worth, basically?
They have not announced her total worth. There is an estimation of about $20 million.
Wow.
Which, when you think about her career, is not a lot of money.
No.
I thought, I'm surprised it's that much.
On Hard Times?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
But it's been a long time since she's been relevant and selling.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe that's why the money dried up a little bit. And she wasn't performing a lot towards the end because she was busy doing drugs. So
yeah, I heard she had been borrowing money, you know, to make this new record and everything, you know, from Clive Davis in the last couple of years. But her records are not, I don't know, am I wrong about this, guys? They're not classic soul that continues to sell. Like the Temptations, for instance, are always going to sell records.
Right. Aretha Franklin will always sell records.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that people are going out, you know, and buying Whitney records or had been from prior to her death.
Like her stuff is very time capsule. You know, it captures that era, but it really doesn't transcend. Here's how it breaks down. She gets partial money when she turns 21. She gets some of it at 21.
Okay.
More will be released to her at the age 25, and then the remainder of the money will be released to her at age 30 if they can find what rehab she's in, it says here.
Says that?
No, I don't think it does.
Okay.
So that's how it breaks down. But by the time she's 30, she'll get whatever is left in the trust. So,
wow.
Bobby, nothing. He's got to be pleased. That book is definitely coming out now. That tell-all book he's been threatening.
That's and that chapter he took out is going back in.
That's right. Good news for the good guys. Remember the 1 Million Moms? This was the group that said JCPenney should be ashamed of itself for hiring celebrity spokeswoman Ellen DeGeneres because she was a lesbian.
Yes, and
we need to boycott.
We need to boycott
them. Fools, and we need to boycott this group.
Right. They have decided to drop their campaign against Ellen DeGeneres.
Good.
You know why? Because JCPenney refused to cave. And it made no impact whatsoever on sales or JCPenney.
Finally. Yeah!
So Penny stood its ground, said no, it's ridiculous. And the whole thing just withered on the vine and died.
This drives us crazy when companies give one person or one group like that such a big impact.
Yeah.
JCPenney said, oh, well, and it's going away.
Yep.
It's the way it should happen.
Lesson learned. The group has decided to focus its attention on other issues. So they're still out there.
Plotting away, but not
rabble
this
rousing.
One.
But
good,
this one has not passed. Rihanna's father gave an interview with Heat magazine. Anybody read Heat?
No,
I know what it is, but I don't even know what it is.
What is Heat?
It's black celebrities.
Okay, he talked to Heat. Ronald Fenty is his name, and he said about Chris Brown. Chris is a nice guy, and everybody's entitled to make mistakes in life.
No way.
This is the father of the girl who Chris Brown repeatedly punched in the face. Kevin, you're a father of a daughter.
No way.
I'm a father of a daughter. Can you comprehend ever saying that statement ever about a guy who attacked your daughter?
Not in a million years.
You might say it at his funeral after you plugged him full of bullets, right?
Right.
Yeah. He also said during Rihanna's most recent visit to her native Barbados, I actually thought she was a little fat.
What?
I was glad when I saw her at this year's Grammys. I thought she had returned back to her normal size. This guy's a champion.
Wow.
Thanks, Dad.
He is a winner.
Unbelievable.
Well, he must not see her much if he's seeing her at the Grammys.
Well,
that's
interestingly,
the next time he saw
Lisa, there has been some feuding going on between father and daughter.
I wonder why.
Yeah, they have just started to speak to each other again last year. It had been years since they were in contact. I think it's going to be a couple of years from now before they talk again. He said, we're not as close as we were when she was growing up, but we are blood. We do not stay angry. Maybe you don't, but I'd be interested to hear.
You called her fat.
Yeah.
You are done.
And your abusive boyfriend's a good guy. Yeah. Everybody makes mistakes.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
Maybe she got her face in the way of his fist.
Wow. What an a-hole.
I don't have time now, but in an hour from now, we'll talk about Jennifer Love Hewitt's boobs, okay?
Really? We have time now?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Linda Fiorentino is 52 years old today. Shannon Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars. I'm assuming that's brother of Jared?
Mm-hmm.
He is 42 years old today. Wouldn't it be a coincidence they both had last name Leto? That common last name of Leto? I wonder what their middle names are, because it is middle name Pride Day, you know?
Doesn't have to be, though.
What's your middle name, Lisa? I don't even know.
Christina.
Christina. What a pretty middle name.
Thank you.
Kevin, what's your middle name?
Guggenheim.
Guggenheim. I enjoy your museum.
Mark.
Mark.
Is it Mark?
Yeah.
Mark with a C or Mark with a K?
Oh, C.
C! Oh, that's the weak, Mark.
What? It is the weak.
That's
it
weak.
The weak
one. It is a C.
It is the week one.
That's weak with a C.
It is.
What's up with your parents and
I don't
the
know.
C?
I've asked them that 1,000 times. I don't know. I've asked them 1,000. Why are you giving me a C?
Oh, that's weak.
How am I supposed to?
You never said that. And we have made fun of people.
What am I going to say here who bring other kids' names?
Yes.
The beer mug, first name Jonathan, of course, middle name.
You asked me this last year on Middle Name Day.
I didn't because I didn't even know there was a Middle Name Day until today.
How about just giving us your middle name?
You guys will never guess
it. Is it Drummer?
I
just can't give it up.
Give it to us. What is it?
It's not a normal name.
Give it to us.
Shlomo.
No.
Lit.
Lit.
L-I-T?
L-I-T-T.
What? It makes mine look normal now.
L-I-T-T.
His parents knew he was going to get lit a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
So they just put it in there.
What does that mean? T's. Is it a family name?
Is it a last name of someone else?
It was my mom's maiden name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I got you.
Being yours?
Lee.
Lee. Ralph?
L-E-E?
Yeah.
Huh. I never had no idea. I'm Joseph.
Joseph.
Yeah. As previously mentioned.
Just said that, didn't you?
Earlier in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. A couple minutes ago. Okay. Look, I don't expect you to hold on to everything.
Ralph, what's your middle name?
A lot of retention.
I think maybe Lisa wins with Christina. Christina's Beer Mug pretty, loses with Lit. I think that's how it rolls out.
I had the lead until Beer Mug stepped in.
Yeah. Yep. Lit snatched it away from you in the last minute. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
No one's more excited about this break than Beer Mug, by the way.
That's true. It's 6:47.
To be bad.
Beer Mug, after all the support Bean has given you while you've been working here, you're going to turn on him like this?
Now, before you turn on me, Joseph.
I'm not turning.
Should we open up the phone lines right now for April Foolishness tickets? Should we do that before we forget?
Yeah, we can
sure.
do that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because coming up next, we're going to play, it's been a while, we're going to play Lick Lisa for April Foolishness tickets. You know how that one goes. If you want to call, if you want to join us April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater for our all-star night of comedy, you can call right now. You'll be on hold for a few minutes, then you'll play Lick Lisa, 1-800-520-1067.
Right, that's enough of a sell. Stop right, wasting time.
Yes. Don't burn the time. Lick Christina, we should call it. Middle name Pride Day. As you know, I consider myself the unofficial historian of the Kevin and
Bean
Show.
No one gave you that job, by the way.
That's why it's unofficial. Oh. And I like to go back and sift through the wreckage that is your career. And I'm like the American Pickers of your radio career. I go through the junkyard that is your careers, and then I try to find the gold in it, the stuff that's valuable in there. I'm an archaeologist. I find these relics, these artifacts of radio history, and I'd like to bring them and present them to the audience.
These are from Bean, though, right?
These particular ones are from Bean.
Excellent.
Back in his days in Washington, D.C., when he was throwing flames on one of the stations there. And this is a continuing series because someone keeps contacting us and giving us all these sound checks from Bean.
How much tape do we have from this?
Who is this person?
This is just the second chapter. We've got literally like hours of tape.
Oh, fantastic.
That Omar has been going through. So this is the latest batch.
Hey, Bean, you know every time you ask Omar to do something, he says he's busy?
This is what he's working on.
He's going through.
Here's Bean. Bean is such a cheese ball.
He loves cheesy comedy.
Oh, does he love cheese?
And to this day, he does.
But this was really him in his glory days when he was spinning top 40 records and just giving snarky little asides and hilarious comedy bits. Here's Bean talking about the Pope's birthday.
You know what? The date today is May 18th. It is Pope John Paul II's birthday today. Man is 64 years old. I don't know what you're supposed to get the Pope. I mean, the guy's got virtually next to everything, right? So I put a call through the Vatican to see if he wanted to join some buddies and me. We're going to see Porky's at the midnight movie tonight. Haven't heard anything back from him.
Because the Pope wouldn't go see Porky's.
See, that's the comedy. That's ridiculous. Right? That's probably the last movie he'd want to see.
I like his late day, you know? I got to tell you.
It's
the Pope's birthday.
Guy's got virtually next
exactly
to everything.
Tell you that.
When was Porky's out, Ralph? Date this tape for me.
Is that 84?
I think it's 84. 83. Yeah, this is 84, I think.
God. Isn't there an expiration date on this tape?
No, it's come like on. Murder. There's no statute of limitations on this crime.
You're murdering radio.
Bean was so desperate for material, I think he would turn anything into a bit.
Right.
Like this caller who called in to give a request, and it turned out this person mentioned, you can tell it's the 80s, he had just come back from breakdancing class.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I just got home from breakdancing class.
Can you do some breakdancing for us over the phone?
Kind of hard.
Well, try it anyway. I'd be curious to see what it sounds like.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
Hold on.
Okay, I'm set. So we have live breakdancing here on the radio, folks.
You mean that you're putting this on the radio?
Well, we may just. Let's see how good you are. You got to make the grade first in this business, bucko.
I like he's willing
bucko.
To.
Got to make the grade in this business, bucko. No, wow. Even in 84, nobody was using bucko anymore.
No.
That went out with the Second World War.
It's 1920s bean is
and
back.
I had to cut the segment for time because we don't have that much time, but he goes on.
He's willing to wait all day.
This guy puts the down the phone and does breakdancing.
Wow.
And Bean plays applause and says how great his breakdancing is. And then he does another move. He does like three moves. It goes on forever.
Wow.
Is it great radio, Ralph?
No, it's horrible. Bean right, used enough. To go and do things. He used to work at a radio station. He would leave the radio station and do things with people, with listeners.
Those the old days.
He would contact them and meet them and make appearances.
Yeah.
Like this fundraiser. For Special Olympics, sorry.
Thank you to each and every one of you that came out and said hello. Dave Fox and I were helping out along with some other radio stations to raise some money for Special Olympics. Now, it was certainly an interesting event, a taco eating contest. Yeah, I don't feel real good today, but I did want to say thanks. We had a lot of fun out there. And if you're driving by Margarita Maggie's, you see what looks like a mushroom cloud overhead? Don't worry about it. It's not a first strike.
See, it's just wow. Farts.
Wow.
That mushroom cloud is just all the gas from Bean eating tacos.
Sorry, we're out of time.
If you know one thing about Bean, you know he loves to tan. He is constantly working on his tan.
He's never worked on his tan.
Oh, Kevin, I beg to differ.
What are you obviously, talking about?
Well, if you listened to him back in the day, he would always talk about his tanning.
What?
Yes.
I tell you, folks, this being a professional tanner is not all it's wrapped up to be. It was downright uncomfortable out there. In pursuit of a tan, got up to 87 degrees. I'm thinking about hiring somebody to get the rest of my tan for me. That may not work, though.
He's going to get someone else.
Time for another guest.
To get his tan for him because it was hot there in Washington, D.C. that day.
You're a cornball.
Yeah.
Apparently, tanning was a through line through all of Bean's hilarious comedy. Here's another hilarious tanning chunk.
Have you heard the big news that there may just be an eclipse here next week that we can actually see from Washington? Boy, that'd be nice. Haven't seen one of those in years. A near total eclipse, anyway. A couple hours next Wednesday, between 11:30 and 2 o'clock or so, we should be able to see the moon in front of the sun. Kind of neat looking. I'm convinced it's all a Russian plot, though. Those guys will do anything to make sure I miss one more day to work on my tan.
Stop talking about your tan! You don't tan! You never tanned!
If it was a part of his life ever, then okay. But it never has been.
You've never been paler than you were in 1984. Stop talking about tanning.
I think I did. It's all Cold War comedy, too, isn't it?
Yeah. And what a shaggy dog story to go all the way through the eclipse information, which you know is what he really wanted to talk about.
Of course.
And then he just tags on the Russian slam and then the tanning chunk.
Bean's going to take down the Russians on his own.
That was well crafted. It's like Red Dawn. Bean's out there, go Wolverines. Once again, Bean desperate for material. Someone accidentally made a wrong number, a phone call that was a wrong number to the radio station. Well, he's not about to let them off the hook. I'll point to you when it's time.
Okay, then.
He's not about to let this person off the hook.
I dialed the wrong number. I didn't know this was the radio station.
Now, who are you trying to call?
I was looking for a friend of mine named Dre.
All right, well, let me see if he's here. Hold on a sec.
Hey, Dre. Dre, baby. Someone calling for you.
What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa's on the line.
No, I think he must have just stepped out. He probably went to get a TV guide so we wouldn't miss the Donald Duck special.
Right.
What? What is that? What?
Apparently earlier, Bean had been talking about some Donald Duck TV special he was really looking forward to.
He probably stepped out to get a TV guide so he wouldn't miss the Donald Duck special. That happened.
And this was on the air.
That made it?
Yeah, this was a conscious decision.
And people could hear that with the radio?
And you didn't get called in after?
No, I'm telling you, Bean took off his headphones and went, nailed it.
They let me come back the next day to do another show?
You know Jonah Hill and Moneyball when he goes, that's Bean's look every time.
You know what? It's funny you bring that up, Kevin, because we're all familiar with this next piece of tape. This isn't from this segment, but we've had fun with this in the past. And this is a legendary piece of tape of Bean doing the intro to that song by Denise Williams for Footloose.
Uh-huh.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi, almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
So we made fun of that bit, and, you know, we've had a lot of fun with that.
See, because Footloose was the name of the movie.
Right. If from that, that song was from that soundtrack. And we've given Bean a hard time, but it's all in good fun because we realize, look, anybody can have a weak moment. Anyone can do a bad joke, a one-off. He wasn't conscious of it. It was an accident.
He rolls around in bad jokes and
well,
one-offs.
It turns out, thanks to this,
like a pig and slop.
This archaeological dig we've done, that wasn't a one-off. This
he doesn't do it again.
This was a well-crafted bit Bean had going on for this song. I present to you Footloose 2.0.
All right!
Different, yeah. Different.
Is your foot loose, by the way?
Yes, and I've been trying to keep it under control for the longest time.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
See, works in the other DJ.
Wow. Unbelievable. There's another one.
So he said, twice maybe he did it. Maybe he got away with
There's
it.
There's not a third.
I present to you Footloose 3.0.
No possible way. Denise Williams.
Did he go?
He's the drum machine. He's doing the drum machine noise. Apparently, every time he played this song, he would go, yeah. He would have some Footloose gag tacked onto the front of this intro.
Yeah. Denise Williams.
Once you could forgive him.
Nope.
Twice?
I wouldn't forgive him
three
once.
Three times and who knows how many more.
Every
who
other
knows?
Time he played it?
Who knows?
Every time he played it, he worked that in. That's magic.
Oh.
I feel your scorn and I accept it.
That's magic.
I can't wait for the next batch.
I can't either. Let's get right to it, shall we? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
I like that.
K-Rock presents Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2012. It is sold out on Saturday, April 7th at the Gibson Amphitheater. By now you know about the phenomenal lineup we have, raising a lot of money for charity. We held a few tickets back to give away on the radio. We're going to do that right now with a game we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick, Lisa. 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 But keep clear of her vagina.
There are rules. There are rules.
So mean. Unfortunately.
All right, it's been a while since we played the game, but let me tell the listeners just on the radio and those folks on hold ready to play that basically what happens is Kevin is going to be asking a question today, and the answer will always – he'll end it with looking for a number. He's always looking for a number. And then Lisa just has to say whether that number that – Wait, do I have
I say what the number
Lisa
is.
Lisa has to guess,
and
guess
then
at the
guess
number.
And then
Lisa says the number, and then the listener says whether the number is higher, lower, or the same. And if they're right, then they have licked Lisa. And who's doing the actual licking today in studio?
That would be Beer Mug.
Yes.
Beer Mug is going to be doing some licking.
Yes, he is.
That's Sarah's waiting to happen.
I'm so excited because that's part of my diet, actually. Lisa's part of my diet.
Yeah. And then if you lick Lisa, you go into the drawing. Someone on hold will win tickets to April Foolishness. Let's go with Fernando.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Let's go with Fernando on line one. He is going to be our first contestant to play Lick Lisa today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Fernando. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Fernando.
Listen up. Kevin's got the question. Remember, Lisa answers first. Good luck.
Jay Moore's first name when he was born was John. John is another name for a porta potty. North Carolina has banned the destruction of porta potties because it's the leading state in porta potty destruction. Before the ban, how many porta potties were being destroyed per year in North Carolina?
What? What?
They banned the destruction of it because too many were getting destroyed.
That is bizarre.
It's against the law.
So you're talking about people who take it out on a porta potty.
You burn it, you spray paint it, you tip it.
Okay.
Well, it can't be that many.
You'd think, right?
So I'll say 300.
300. All right. Fernando, is that the right answer? Is the right answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say it's going to be higher.
I'm sorry. It's lower. It's 200.
200?
Yeah.
And that was enough for them to
still
ban
a lot.
It is
That's
a lot.
That's a lot of porta potties.
But there's a lot of you out there.
Wait, by you, you mean me?
Yes.
How dare you?
Sorry, Fernando.
Daniel is next on line two. Daniel, welcome to the show. You ready to play Lick Lisa?
Hey, what's up, Kevin? You're being hi, Lisa, mate.
Hi there.
Good luck.
All right. Comedian Eddie Izzard, who is being featured, spent part of his career as a transvestite, a heterosexual male who dresses like a girl. According to Wikipedia, although greatly debated, approximately how many cross-dressers are there in the United States?
Wow. Ooh,
good question.
Yeah.
How many cross-dressers in the United States?
Your wife is chopping at the bit to do
200,000.
200,000. Is that the right answer? Is the right answer higher or lower?
Lower.
900,000.
Wow.
900,000.
Sorry, Daniel.
Sorry about that.
That was a stab in the dark.
Lionel is next. Lionel on line three. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're playing Lick Lisa for April Foolishness tickets. You ready to go?
Unfortunately, we're running late. So I think we got to get right into the championship round.
Okay.
Sudden death already?
Sudden death.
All right.
It's because we're running so late.
Okay.
First person to get it wins. Eddie Ift briefly worked on Queen Latifah's show as Man on the Street. In early 2003, Queen Latifah had a breast reduction surgery, which downsized her F-size breast to double D cup size as a way to reduce back and shoulder pain. Although the surgery is abhorred by God himself, according to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, how many breast reductions were performed in America last year?
Oh.
Breast reductions?
Gotta be less than 100, right?
Why don't you be quiet?
Lisa,
I'm guessing.
First.
He said
pay attention.
100. I'm going to say 300,000.
300,000. Is that right? Too high or too low? Or is the right answer higher or lower?
I think that's the right answer is higher.
The right answer is lower. Thank God. 113,511.
But that's still 113,000 ladies that made the wrong choice, though. Let's not overlook that. Okay.
That's what we're saying. We have no winners. Let's go take another one.
Are we going to get some licking here?
Nope.
Maybe not. We're going to Autumn on line four. We are in sudden death. All you have to do is lick Lisa, and you will win tickets for April Foolishness. Autumn, how have you been doing just playing along on the phone so far?
So here and there.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Larry King is on the bill. He was born in 1933.
Yikes.
Making him the oldest man to walk on the planet. Franklin Roosevelt once famously said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, a fact that is not true for Larry King, as he should be very afraid of death. How many people died last year in America?
Oh, no.
In America.
How many people died in America last year?
In America. How many people died?
This is like a Beans Death Corner crossover edition. Okay. I love this.
You must have a semi.
I love this. I hope it's a lot.
How many people died in America last year?
10 million.
10 million.
I have no idea.
Okay, Autumn. Is that the right answer?
That's a clue.
Or is the right answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go with lower.
Lower is correct!
Yes!
How many?
2,437,000.
All right, give me a lick.
All right, Lisa, here I come.
This is the one lick. Make it good.
Make it good. No, stay away from her vagina.
Hey, you're not allowed to pull back.
Yeah!
This is all going wrong. Thank you for playing. We'll see you at April Fool's this autumn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lick, Lisa. Lick, lick, Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, what a big hour we have coming up for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat for us. Speaking of movies, Adam Scott, who's in the new film Friends with Kids, will join us and a brand new Internet Roundup in about 10 minutes. First, time for the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
No cute corner, though, in the Internet Roundup, right? No freaking cute corner?
Yeah, there's a cute corner.
BS cute corner. No.
We voted that down, by the way. That got voted down.
No, it didn't.
It did.
There's more than you two voting.
But they're the only one to count.
excuse me. I believe Bean, Lisa, and Dave are all voting for the pandas drinking milk to make the Internet Roundup.
Yep.
Suck it.
We've been talking about middle name Pride Day, of course, all day today.
Of course.
And this email came just moments ago. I thought I'd read it out. I've contacted the local municipality to institute Drown a Kitten Day if the cute corner is added to the K-Rock webpage, writes listener Troy. I suggest you also look into International Stab a Coworker Day. It's a great stress reliever. I'm looking at you, Bean, and creates a job opportunity. So I think Troy has some excellent points for some days that we can institute here.
That guy's coming
up
with some answers.
He is. He's not part of the problem.
Nope.
He's part of the solution. All right, I promised you an hour ago we talked about Jennifer Love Hewitt's boobs in the showbiz news, and she is on the cover of Maxim magazine in the upcoming issue in lingerie with her boobs on full display.
Boobies. I like boobies.
She says in the interview inside the magazine, I like my boobs. They've always served me well.
Obviously.
They're good, she says. They're better than good.
Check out those gigantic knockers.
They are better than good. She also says she's honored to be featured on Maxim's cover for the fourth time.
Wow.
She says, it's my scale of how good I look.
And giant the, size cans.
In the interview, she also mentions that men never hit on her.
What?
She says she's not really sure why. I'm guessing she's probably too smart. That's what it is. That's what keeps all the boys away.
Well, she's like famous.
Frida Pinto and her boyfriend Dev Patel is a couple you don't hear much about, but they have been dating since they worked on Slumdog Millionaire together.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So that wasn't one of those, hey, summer camp, we're on a movie, let's fall in love, and then break up when the thing opens. They've stayed together.
Yeah, they have a real relationship. According to Us Weekly magazine, they've been dating for over the last 3 years since the movie was shot, and they're now talking marriage. So it looks like that's a Hollywood romance that might actually work out. This weekend marks the debut of HBO's Game Change, the TV movie about John McCain picking Sarah Palin to be his running mate in the 2008 election. John McCain, played by, help me out here, I'm drawing a blank.
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris, right?
How come everybody helps him?
Sarah Palin, played by the wonderful...
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Come everyone helps him.
Well, I'm not screwing up the sentence. I'm just drawing a blank. We could be
That's
here all day.
I do.
It would just be silence. No, no, you fill the silence, my friend. You fill it with wonderful goodness.
And doesn't Julianne Moore look uncannily like Sarah Palin? It's a crazy impression.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to be Sarah Palin, who obviously everybody knows how she looks and what she sounds like, after Tina Fey has already done her version, too.
Critics are saying it's ranks among her finest performances, by the way, her work in this film, and that the film is actually very good. Of course, critic Hank Stuver from the Washington Post warns, there's nothing I can say about this movie, good, bad, or indifferent, that someone won't take the wrong way. So it's probably true because it is a highly charged political film. But sure. People are saying it's worth checking out. The reason I bring it up is because both John McCain and Sarah Palin have publicly announced they are not going to bother to watch the film. They wouldn't waste their time.
Sure.
I don't buy it. You know they're watching that movie.
How could you not?
How could you not?
Sunglasses and a baseball hat in the back?
In their own homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was such a fascinating chapter in American politics where John McCain was, you know, going down fast and it totally re-energized him overnight.
Yeah.
Remember picking that? I mean, she was such an unbelievably popular choice and then quickly became so polarizing. It was fascinating. I never read the book. I hear the book was great and I'm looking forward to the movie.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Bow Wow is 25 years old today. Remember when he was Lil?
No, sure.
He's not Lil anymore.
No, he is.
Now he's Bih.
You can say big.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't save any time to say bih.
Brittany Snow from American Dreams is 26 years old. Chingy. He's 32.
Chingy.
He's 32 years old today. Kerr Smith from Dawson's Creek is 40 years old. Emmanuel Lewis. Remember Webster?
Yeah.
Yeah. 41 years old.
I thought he was dead.
No, that's Gary Coleman.
Well, I knew it was Gary Coleman, but I thought he was dead, too.
No, Emmanuel Lewis.
Did Webster
fine.
Have a catchphrase on his sitcom, Ralph?
What you talking about, Alex Karras?
I don't think that was it.
No? I don't remember if he had. I never watched Webster. C. Miller, formerly C. Murder, the rapper, is 41 years old. Shannon Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars is 42. And actress Linda Fiorentino celebrates her 52nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Adam Scott, hilarious actor from Party Down, Parks and Recreation, and the new film Friends with Kids coming up in about a half an hour or so. Ralph's got the movie bee on the way also. Right now, though, a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. We have a bunch of videos that we think you will find interesting. Many of them don't have audio, so we can't feature them here on the radio.
Like the pandas drinking milk, as one example, for instance. Maybe
so
the cutest video ever.
Adorable.
Yeah. Like the wedding fall. The bride falls
awesome.
And her dress comes off. You can see her ass. The dude dancing on crutches is great.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, so that guy's amazing.
Really?
Vodka gets your, if you have a frozen tongue, if your tongue is frozen to something, vodka will just get it right off.
No kidding.
Who knew? But they also have a piano playing dog. There's a dog on its hind feet playing the piano and, quote, singing, unquote. It is odd in that he is playing the piano and singing at the same time.
Like, how does that ever happen?
I don't know.
Did they train him to do that? And if so, why? Why would you want that noise in your house?
You know how you see a commercial on TV where Kobe jumps over a car or, you know, some NBA player does some superhuman feat, and they always say, don't try this at home?
Mm-hmm.
they mean don't try this at home. There's a guy trying to jump over a car, and the car gets some speed up, and he jumps. He doesn't quite clear it. He hits the windshield.
What makes him think he's standing there, Lisa, and a car is driven toward him, and as it gets right in front of him, he leaps and tries to, you know, the plan is that he's going to superhumanly go above the car is going to keep on driving, and then he's going to land on the ground. What makes him think he can jump like 10 feet or something like that to get over a car?
I don't know, because it was an average-sized car, but his feet hit the hood. He doesn't even wait for the windshield.
Right, exactly.
And the timing of that, too.
If there was no windshield, he wouldn't have cleared that car.
It's not possible. Yeah. It's you can't do it, right? You can't from a stand jump that far anyway.
I wouldn't think so.
Megan Fox was on the Ellen show, and Ellen was asking Megan about a job, you know, in non-show business. She said she used to have to dress up like a giant banana to help bring business into some
yeah. Store? Like a smoothie store or something,
right.
Yeah.
So she's sitting in the chair, she's talking to Ellen, and this guy dressed in a giant banana suit comes out and scares her. And I mean really scary.
Was that weird for you to be a giant banana at
all? Well, it was weird, and what was bad about it is that... he's gone now.
It was a hit
he
and
split.
Run.
That was sweet.
He split.
See?
Please don't scare my sweet Megan.
No, that was awesome. I love to see celebrities lose it like that because they usually they're putting on whatever persona they want you to see.
Ellen's getting good at that.
Yeah, she is. The Dollar Shave Club. I don't know if this is real or not, but it's the best commercial I've ever seen.
Our blades are great.
Do you think your razor needs a vibrating handle, a flashlight, a back scratcher, and 10 blades? Your handsome-ass grandfather had one blade and polio. Looking good, pop-up!
That's a really good commercial.
It is, and you know, basically what he's saying is why pay so much money for razors? They only really need to do one thing, which is shave your face or your legs, and we'll sell them to you cheap. You know, we'll sell them to you and send them to you in the mail. But it's a hilarious commercial. I can't imagine how much time it took to get all this stuff to work out well the way it does.
This is Douchebag Siri. I wish more series were like this. This is the feature on the Apple iPhone where you can talk to it and it'll talk back. And this guy is in a rock band and he's trying to get Siri to do stuff.
Tell Julie and Kate our band is playing at the Garage tonight.
The Garage. Please tell me that's the name of the club. Oh, God.
Call me Rock God.
You. Your band sucks, okay?
Call me Rock God. F you, your band sucks, okay?
If Siri were honest, that's what she would say.
Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy likes to do Neil Young, and Bruce Springsteen, the real Bruce Springsteen, comes out, and they duet on Sexy and I Know It.
Girl, look at that body. I work out. I walk into the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops, and they stare at me. I got passion in my pants, and I ain't afraid to show it.
It's bizarre to see Bruce Springsteen actually singing this song.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Which I love.
This is the follow-up to Whip My Hair, which is the last time that Jimmy Fallon's Neil Young and the real Bruce Springsteen got together.
I'm sexy, and I know it.
Hey, did you mention the little pandas drinking milk?
I did not.
That's in the cute corner.
There's no
cute section
corner
of the Internet Roundup.
We don't have a
today.
Cute corner in the section of the Roundup. We're having kind of a fight here because Bean wants to have a cute corner.
There's room for a cute corner.
I expect you to want a cute corner, Lisa. But Bean and Dave are little 12-year-old girls. And finally, Jimmy Kimmel Live's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. You put beeps where they don't belong to make it sound worse than it is.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
I f***ed the twice and liked it even better the second time.
Snooki, are you really pregnant?
Has she been all along?
I'm the regular dude who has a big
Why are scientists f***ing animals?
So how do you f*** a 7,000-pound whale?
It is f*** cold.
So you could be see freezing, but they put it in a beep to make it sound worse than it is.
Yeah.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
just 35 days from Coachella, because you'd never know when it was if we weren't telling you every morning. You can listen and win your tickets every weekday afternoon at 5. Just be caller 106.7. That means today at 5, you can win your tickets to Coachella for a 3-day pass. That's coming up. Details at krock.com. It's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means Ralph Garman is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Anyone can see the movies and then review them.
Right.
That's a lazy man's way out.
That's what everyone else does.
That's right.
So what?
That's what makes the Movie Beat unique. Let's start off with Salmon Fishing in Yemen.
Nope. That's
nope.
Not a movie.
Let's not start with that.
Oh. Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
It looks kind of good.
Oh, stop it.
I think it looks good, too.
Is it really a thing?
It's a thing.
No.
This is the worst kind of self-indulgent, artsy-fartsy, oh, we're going to make a film that touches you in places that only your uncle knows about kind of vibe.
Is it your boyfriend Ewan McGregor in it, though?
He is. I don't know what's happening with Ewan McGregor's career. Emily Blunt's also in this. Kristen Scott Thomas. Here's the premise, Kevin. I know you'll appreciate this as much as I. A sheik wants to bring the sport of fly fishing to the desert.
Nope.
And so he hires a fisheries expert. But, Kevin, they embark on an upstream journey of faith to prove the impossible is possible. This reminds me of?
Oh, you.
That old fart who was riding the lawnmower across the USA, right. Whatever that effing movie was.
Straight story.
Yeah, BS with
loved.
Your, oh, I'm going to teach you lessons about life by doing some BS thing that no one would ever do in real life.
I might be in for this one.
You're not going.
Salmon fishing in Yemen.
Lisa might.
Here's the sheik who wants to start fly fishing in the desert, talking to you, McGregor, about what it means, Kevin, to be a fisherman.
The rich are frightened of the poor. The poor are frightened of the rich. And even your politicians. They try to sound like the people on the EastEnders.
Ah, yes, the great British class system.
But fishermen, they don't care whether I'm brown or white. Rich or poor, wearing robes or waders. All they care about is the fish, the river, and the game we play. For fishermen, the only virtues are patience, tolerance, and humility.
That's right. A fisherman is about being patient and humility. And the fisherman does not care if I am brown or I am white. We're all brothers with the fisherman. All he cares about is the river and the fish and getting S-faced on cheap beer and throwing his cans into the woods and crapping and wiping himself with a leaf. F this movie. F it to death.
They certainly could have softened up on the message a bit.
Oh, Jesus. When you try to take some BS redneck sport and turn it into an allegory for life, no, sir. I will not have it.
A little on the nose with the explanation. We heard the whole thing right there. That was the whole movie.
The fishermen also know that sometimes you can pee in the river and no one will see because you, no one's around. You just whip it out and just defile the river. The fish don't care for that.
Also opening this weekend, Friends with Kids. Now this looks funny.
Good, because we're talking to Adam Scott next.
Jennifer Westfeldt. That bitch.
Why?
Because she has my man. Because she has my man.
And I'm sure John Hamm would be with you if it weren't for
in
her.
A heartbeat.
Sure.
We would have a Brokeback Mountain bromance. Jennifer Westfeldt, director and, writer of this movie, Friends with Kids. Two best friends decide to have a child together while keeping their relationships platonic.
This is a variation on, hey, let's just be friends but have sex. This
right.
is, hey, let's just be friends but have a kid together.
Right, so they're not having sex all the time. They just do it the one time, well, until it takes or whatever. But it takes a toll on their friendship and also the relationships that surround them. Great cast, by the way. Adam Scott, Maya Rudolph, Jennifer Westfeldt, of course. John Hamm, as you can imagine, stops by. Kristen Wiig. I mean, just a wow. Terrific, terrific cast. Here are some clips from Friends with Kids.
Oh, oh my God. We've always wanted you guys to get together.
Oh, no.
No.
You're not getting together. You're just going to do it one time and have a kid.
Yes.
Totally makes sense to me.
Oh, my God. That is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Oh, my God. So exciting.
It's coming.
I feel like it's coming out of my
I don't think this is so hard.
This is clean, simple.
When do you think it'll be okay to get naked with someone?
Let me see. I think we're 3 weeks out.
Silent House also opens up this weekend. Who'd have thought that a good actor would come out of the Olsen family? Elizabeth Olsen. sister of Ashley and Kate, is a terrific little actress. Oh. And she stars in this film, which seems to be a genuine horror film. Interesting premise. What they do is, here's the concept. A family has a lakeside house, and a young woman finds her trapped inside the house with a psycho. Now, this is something we've all seen before, but the interesting premise of Silent House is it takes place in real time. So for the next 90 minutes or so, you're seeing actually the 90 minutes of terror that she's going through in the house, and it's shot pretty much with a static single-camera shot throughout the whole film. Fascinating take on the trapped inside the house horror genre. Here are some clips from Silent House.
One of the most shocking and twisted incidents ever recorded befell Sarah Murphy and her father.
Dad?
What are you doing?
I just thought I heard something upstairs.
Oh my God. Daddy, what did they do to you?
Hang on. I'm gonna go get help.
No, she's not! No, she's not! No!
That sounds awesome.
And the psycho keeps taking flash Polaroid pictures of her as she's going around the house. And she gets blinded by the flash and doesn't know what's going on. He leaves the pictures in certain places. Yeah, it's creepy on several different levels. A Thousand Words with Eddie Murphy. Speaking of creepy, Eddie Murphy stars. Oh, I'll tell you something, Kevin.
Yeah.
This guy, he's a literary agent, right?
Right.
And he talks so much.
Uh-huh.
And he BS's so much that he gets a spell cast on him. That after a thousand words, he's going to die. So he can't talk anymore.
Wow, what does he do?
He has to find other ways to communicate. And here's the thing, Kevin. He learns a valuable lesson about the consequences of every word we speak.
Oh.
What if he learns about what the fishermen teach him in the stream as well?
Why do so many movies have to have such a strong message?
Eddie Murphy
draws
a picture to tell his friend what's wrong, what he's been going through.
You're talking, you talk? Okay, we've established that. The leaves. When you talk, all the leaves fall off the tree. Okay, this is fun. It's not fun. I didn't mean it like that. And when all the leaves fall off the tree, you are asleep. Okay. You're voguing? Oh, when all the leaves fall off, you die.
See? There's a leaf for every word on the Bodhi tree. And when it's all over, he dies.
You're voguing.
Stop it, Kevin. Stop laughing. You're just encouraging these people.
That line was funny.
But don't you have to buy into a ridiculous premise
yes.
that he can only speak a thousand words and then he dies?
Well, he's a literary agent for a spiritual guru, and he stretches the truth on their book deal.
And Eddie, come back to us.
And so the spiritual guru puts this hex on him, see?
Hmm.
Now it makes sense, right?
Sure.
And John Carter opens up this weekend.
That's what I'm talking
Taylor
about.
Taylor Kitsch, Lynn
good.
Collins, Mark Strong, one of my favorite actors. A Civil War vet finds himself mysteriously transported to Mars. All right? It happens.
It doesn't, but it did this once.
He's got to defend the Martians and help them fight for their freedom against these 12-foot-tall barbarians played by Khloe Kardashian in the film. Here's a scene where John Carter finally realizes that he's on Mars.
Sun, then Rasu.
Mercury.
Then Kosu.
Venus. Then Earth. Us.
That is Jasum. You are on Barsoom, John Carter.
Mars. I'm on Mars.
So, now home is Jasum. And you came on one of your sailing ships across millions of carats of empty space?
No. Not like that.
Go on. Shock me.
I have to take my shirt off now.
Could they have turned that music up louder?
I was thinking the same thing.
Because I couldn't hear
they're
most
trying
of that.
To sweep you away is right. What they're doing. It's an epic.
Or they're trying to cover the dialogue.
How dare you, sir?
This looks good to me.
John Carter, I can't wait to see him swinging some swords and killing some barbarians and just kicking regular USS. USA! 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 Oh, Martians can't solve their own problems. They got to bring in Americans. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is Adam.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Just recapping with Ralph with the Movie Beat a few minutes ago.
Yes.
So Eddie Murphy, there's a spell that's cast on him, and he's not allowed to talk. If he says a thousand words,
right.
Then he dies?
Yes.
So someone could go see that this weekend.
Correct.
Or they could go see Maya Rudolph, John Hamm, Kristen Wiig, Jennifer Westfeld, and our friend Adam Scott, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. They could go see that, Friends with Kids, instead of the Eddie Murphy movie, mm-hmm. right? That's a choice that could be made?
Yes.
I'm choosing Eddie Murphy. Am I getting a choice here?
Adam, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm sorry this interview is going to be really short because I can only say 1,000 words.
No, I understand. Because that's a realistic premise for a film, right, Adam?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's basically, I mean, if you really think about it, it's the premise of most movies when it really comes down to it.
Sure.
I remember when we had you in studio last year, and we were talking about all the upcoming projects you had, and Friends with Kids was one that you mentioned at the time, but The Weeknd is finally here. It is finally coming out. It's finally open up everywhere today. Man, this looks like a lot of fun, dude.
It is. It's a really fun, funny, and sweet movie. I'm really proud of it.
There's one thing I don't buy, though, is that you start hitting on Megan Fox.
Right, and she doesn't reject me flat out. It actually happens.
That I don't buy, correct.
Yeah, I thank you for that. I reluctantly agree with you.
And then it appears you go back to the woman who you had the kid with.
Well,
you were hitting on Megan Fox.
I don't want to spoil anything for our lovely audience.
Just give us all the surprises.
Okay.
Adam, let's talk about Megan Fox for a minute. That is, I know that, look, I'm not trying to entrap you here. I know that you are a professional and you're a married guy, and I'm not suggesting anything untoward. But you show up at work and Megan Fox is there and she's playing a love interest of yours. How do you not just jump up and down and squeal like a little kid when you realize that's what's happening and that's your job? That's what you do for work that day, is make out with Megan Fox.
I know. It's crazy. She's really just a perfect-looking person. And I've said before that whenever I'm around Megan, I just feel like I'm covered head to toe in diarrhea.
Hey, enjoy your breakfast, everybody.
Yeah, because there's no way to even be on that level. And then, by the way, and I'm no Mo, but you put John Hamm in the room, and now all of a sudden your penis must be very confused, because who's better looking than John Hamm, right?
I know. I know. I was by far the least attractive person in the room.
Could I butt in here and say Megan Fox is hotter than John Hamm?
I'm just saying those two. Right. Honestly, when we get to the point where the world is ending, I hope somebody has the foresight to put those two in a room together to restart the human race with their genes. That's all I'm suggesting.
We would just have a bunch of perfect titans running around taking over the world.
And Megan doesn't get, because of some of the types of movies that she's been in, she doesn't get a lot of credit for being a good actress. But I think she's very talented. In the clips that I've seen from this film, it looks like she's very good.
She's great in it. She's really funny. And, she's a really funny, sharp, interesting person. I really liked working with her, and she's really funny. And if you watch Jennifer's Body,
I guess many times,
really, really great and really funny.
Yeah, I watched that many times in slow motion. I have a clip of you hitting on Megan Fox.
Great.
Oh, great.
We're trying to play clips on the radio now, Adam. Here we go.
It's fiction.
Are you serious? You're gonna hit on me with a baby? That's terrible. Boo. What's wrong with you?
No. Hey, I'm a free agent. I'm not married. So, and I wasn't hitting on you.
Really?
Okay, well, yeah, maybe I was hitting on you, but...
thank you.
To be honest, you can't really walk around with that face and not invite that kind of comment. I am sorry for saying that. That was the first thing that came out. I'm usually not this inarticulate or cheesy. I'm a bit off my game.
You play awkward so well, Adam. I sense you have a lot of experience being uncomfortable in every single situation.
Yeah, I usually feel uncomfortable, so it's sort of my default.
You spent a lifetime training for this role.
Exactly.
Excellent.
A lot of the people in this film, and we're talking to Adam Scott about his movie Friends with Kids opening up everywhere today. A lot of these people like Maya, who has the SNL experience, Kristen, same deal. John Hamm, who's a great improv guy, you, same deal. I would imagine it would be very difficult for that group of people to stick to a script, because it seems like you always are trying to crack each other up.
Yeah, it was a really fun, funny set. But, Jen wrote this really great script, and the script was really, had its own kind of rhythms to it. So we were really stuck to it. The movie really doesn't have any improvisation in it, though we all were screwing around when we were making it. But, when it really came time to shoot the scenes, we actually really didn't do any improv.
Wow, that's going to be kind of rare for the script to be that good, where you can't figure out a way to make it better.
I know. That's why it was such a special experience being able to, get this part.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to put you on the spot as we say goodbye to you, Adam. You can speak directly to the Kevin and Bean audience. Tell them why they need to choose Friends with Kids this weekend.
Because there are more than 1,000 words in it.
Yes!
There you go.
Excellent. And by the way, this is one of those movies that appears to me, and because I pick bad movies, and my wife always has to go with me, and then she'll pick movies. This is one where you go, okay, you pick, honey. Because this weekend, she'll pick this one, and you'll enjoy it.
Yeah,
right.
There's something for the ladies and the dudes.
But the dudes get credit for going to the woman's movie.
And
even...
then we see your crap after
correct,
that.
Yes.
I gotcha.
It's
okay.
Perfect.
You will score points this weekend, and you will enjoy it. Talk to the dudes.
Our new feature, Kevin Games the System, once again. Adam exactly. Scott, you're the best, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show. Thank you.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56. You know what we forgot to tell you is that at the website at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, we put up the video of the interview of Beer Mug after his big weight loss challenge on Friday when he weighed himself. And he lost no weight. Zero.
Well,
weight.
He broke even.
Zero weight.
He's where he started 3 weeks ago, right?
So a lot of people think weight loss, Kevin, is about losing weight.
Right.
What most people don't know is it's about not gaining weight.
Right, but he's supposed to lose 30 pounds by June 1st.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
So he did not lose weight. We did an interview. We put it up. You should see it.
Coming up next, are men scared off by smart women? Is that something they don't want in a prospective date?
When I meet one, I'll let you know.
No,
hey,
you
Kevin
didn't.
Kevin and me Lister, yes! Who says yes. And Ralph is convinced there's something else wrong with her. I guess we'll explore that as well. So that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Anyone who can sit down and write an email and say, I'm too smart and guys don't like me because I'm smart. Already, that's the problem right there.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt.
I'm not. I think there's something else wrong.
And
thank
she didn't
God
just,
Kevin's
all
in
right,
the room.
Well, let's save this and discuss it after when we get her on the phone.
I'd like to talk to girls who think that their intelligence gets in the way of getting a man. That's who I'd like to talk to. Same one as the girl that emailed Bean.
Girls are too – just guys don't like me because I'm too smart.
Because
that's
I'm too
who
smart.
You want to talk to.
That is who we're talking to.
Okay.
That's exactly the topic.
All right, good.
Good.
Yeah.
Huh?
I was afraid you were going to talk to two guys who are afraid of girls who are smart. I don't want to talk to guys. I want to talk to the girls that think their smarts are getting in the way.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're doing what we said we were doing before I interrupted.
Exactly. I believe okay, you're in line with what actually is going to happen. Yes.
Back to you.
All right. Let's talk about television news, shall we?
Britney
Spears.
Britney Spears.
Looks like she is going to be the new judge on The X Factor.
Will Glenda be there?
Pretty big get for Simon Cowell and the rest of the people at The X Factor. Paul Abdul and Nicole Scherzinger.
I don't know. Is it a terrible choice?
It could be interesting.
I think it's no worse than anybody else.
I think there's fascination to tune in to see her the first time.
Correct.
But I think she has very little to offer. She's not smart. She's not articulate. Yeah. She's not insightful.
Neither
she
did Cara DioGuardi. Neither did Nicole Scherzinger.
Maybe she'll be a Paula Abdul.
Maybe. She'll be an idiot and come up with funny stuff.
Love it.
I don't think any of these judges on these shows...
Except for Simon,
and in my opinion, Jennifer Lopez brings an enormous amount of charm to American Idol with her judging. But other than that, all those judges are pretty much interchangeable, not a lot going on with any of them. And I mean Randy Jackson, and I mean all of the long-timers and the new ones as well. So I think if you're going to get somebody, your best bet is to get a name that someone will want to pay attention. I think Steven Tyler was a perfect choice. Here's a guy who doesn't really offer a lot to the show except for his being Steven Tyler. He brings that to the show. And I think Britney will bring that to this and people will watch.
How much is she going to get?
She's going to get all the money.
That sounds right.
All the money that there is, they will give to her. Listen, I don't know how much she's going to get, but Simon's got it. Whatever she needs, Simon's got it.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Looks like the Hollywood Reporter is saying the contract is in final negotiations, could be signed as soon as next week. So we'll have a confirmation next week sometime.
They should sign Kevin Federline as well.
They should.
As a judge.
As dance coach. Or Beer Mug's weight loss coach, one or the other. They're way about the same now, I think, those two guys.
Hey, no.
I'm just saying. Fender is going public.
The guitar company?
Yeah, how about that? This company was founded in 1946. Legendary Fender Guitar Company, of course, the Stratocaster model, played by Hendrix and Clapton. The Beatles used Fender amplifiers when they performed on the roof of their Apple Records concert in 1969. The Telecaster gave Nashville and Stax Records their signature sound. This has been the guitar of note, perhaps maybe for Gibson. I guess those two vie for top honors. but for some time now, and the manufacturers announced a $200 million IPO. About half of the proceeds are going to go to pay off some of their debt, but you'll be able to own stock in Fender if you're a musician. That would be pretty exciting.
Hmm.
I wonder how much...
Seems like a pretty good deal, too.
I wonder how much investment possibilities in Fender, though. It just seems like... I don't think there's going to be a boon in guitar sales anytime soon. It was probably pretty steady, right?
I would think so.
It's not going to blow up. You're going to get you're not going to get a big investment early on, a return on your investment early on.
I was trying to talk everybody out of it so he could do it.
Give me 400 shares, Bill. And CBS has renewed The Talk for another season. That's
why?
CBS's version of The View. The Talk stars Sarah Gilbert, Sharon Osbourne, Cheryl Underwood, Aisha Tyler, and Julie Chen. They will all be returning for the third season of the show. I think it's an excellent idea, and I think the show is brilliant. And it should go on forever.
Why?
Julie Chen's married to the boss of our company.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, right. Yeah, they do good work.
Oh, she's the best, by the way. That's Julie Chen.
That is a
good
show.
She's the reason to turn on, and tune out. No, don't turn out. Pay attention.
I don't ever take my TV off of CBS. I just leave it on CBS all the time because it's so good.
Famously said that.
That's right. And now we know he's going to get Whitney Houston's estate. Her daughter, Bobby Christina, will inherit everything that Whitney leaves behind. She will get the first partial payment from the trust when she turns 21 years old. She's 19 now. More will be released to her at the age of 25, and then the remainder, whatever's left, by the time it's all said and done, goes to her at the age of 30.
That's a smart way to do it, by the way. I don't know how much money it'll end up being, but I mean, the fact that you don't dump, you know, $100 million on somebody that's 21 is a good idea.
And it's a small percentage of 21, a larger percentage of 30, then the chunk of it will come, 25, and then the largest chunk of it will go to her at 30. So it sounds like there'll be something left for her at 30.
Mm-hmm.
What she'll do with it then? Only a guy who deals out of the back of a van in an alley knows. Let's take a look at our celebrity birthdays for today. Bow Wow is 25 years old today. The lovely and talented actress Brittany Snow from American Dreams and other films is 26 years old. Chingy is 32. Kerr Smith from Dawson's Creek is 40. Wasn't that Kerr Smith the guy your wife had a huge crush on,
yes,
Dean Baxter?
Yes, he played the gay student on Dawson's Creek,
right.
and Donna just loved him. Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis, Webster.
And he went on to the Final Destination movies, is where
he ended up after that. Emmanuel Lewis, who played Webster, is 41. Kevin's
and
wife.
The final question for Emmanuel Lewis, do birds ever pick you up and carry you off to their nests?
No, but that would be interesting.
Kevin's wife, coincidentally, had a huge crush on Webster for some reason.
That's
I don't
true.
Know what that was all about. But
it's a dictionary.
She loves small black men.
Obviously.
C. Miller, formerly known as C. Murder. The rapper is 41 years old. Why would you change that?
Well, because he went to prison for murdering someone. That's why.
That's right. Now it's all coming
but
back.
But if you went to prison for murdering someone, then maybe keep the name.
Because then you've earned it.
Right. You've earned that name.
And how are you going to change all those tattoos done with...
business cards.
All those tattoos done with ink and a hot sewing needle.
Yeah,
how
are
you
going
to change all those? And does he have to grind grain now because he's C. Miller?
Oh, I don't even get that.
That's what a miller is, Kevin.
Oh.
Someone who grinds grain.
Obviously. Yeah.
Put that in the file, would you?
Oh, don't hate me because I'm too smart. That's why men don't like me. I'm just too smart for
that's
you
why
guys.
I don't like you.
Shannon Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars is 42 years old, and actress Linda Fiorentino is 52 years old today. See, if his name was C. Miller and then he murdered someone,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying if his name is now C. Miller, does he have to grind grain? Is it an obligation? Whatever his name is, he must do it.
Right.
That was the point.
I still don't hear anyone laughing.
I'm Ralph Garman. I love the show.
Our friend Jensen Karp joins us in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the owner of the Gallery 1988 Gallery. Wait, I could have said that better.
No,
that's
good.
It confused because it's Gallery 1988, but it's also a gallery. He's going to tell us about the amazing art show that involves Weird Al in person that you can attend. That's coming up at about a half an hour or so from right now.
It's
on
not
the Kevin
just
Bean
Weird
show.
Al.
It's just Weird Al.
But that's it is only, just
that's,
Weird
but that's
Al.
The only art that matters.
Right, okay.
All right. A few days ago on the Kevin and Bean Show, I briefly mentioned a study that came out from a British shopping website. They interviewed 1,142 women on this discount website in Britain. And the conclusion that they came to based on the women who filled out the survey is that 50%, almost 50%, 48% of young women aged 18 to 25 would rather have larger breasts than high intelligence. So right on, right? I mean, first
that
of all,
is,
right on.
That is encouraging.
About a third would readily swap IQ points for bigger boobs. Now, I don't know what the exact formula is, how much intelligence you're willing to give up for a better figure.
Right. If you're at 100, you don't want to give up much.
Right.
But exactly. If you're at 140, you can give away about 5 or 10.
A few points. Yeah. Either way, isn't going to make a difference.
Right.
Right. To get a little bit hotter. Okay. So we talked about that study on the air. And then kind of out of the blue, but related to the topic, I got an email from Amber who says, I just wanted to let you know that the reason most women chose to be pretty rather than smart is that the life of a smart woman is not an easy one. And then she went on to tell us what problems she's had by being a smart woman. And we thought, man, that's an interesting story. Let's get Amber on. Let's find out more about that and find out about if this is a thing that's happening that I'm not aware of, which is that somehow guys aren't interested in smart women. So Amber joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, my dear. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
First of all, thanks for writing. Second of all, thank you for coming on the air. So you are fat or what's going on here?
No, I actually, where do I start? I'm not comfortable saying that I'm hot or attractive or whatever, which is...
Well, you can send us a picture and then we can decide on our own.
Look, I honestly considered sending a picture to you guys, but that's not really the point I'm getting at.
But that's my point.
Okay,
yeah,
what?
I understand that's your point, so I can still send you a picture.
Okay,
but...
all right. So you're attractive, but you think that because you're also smart, that's what has made it difficult for you to connect it romantically.
Well, I definitely think that there's something to that, because normally what happens is I'll get approached by someone. We start talking, and it's a normal conversation. But inevitably, they'll ask me, you know, what do you do for a living?
Mm.
At which point, I don't lie, because if I'm going to date a guy, I need to know that he can accept me for sure.
How do you know the guy wants to date versus spend the night with?
I don't, but, you know... It's also a pretty good filter, don't you think?
Okay. What do you tell him?
I agree.
So what do you tell him?
So I'm just honest. I tell him that I'm in grad school right now. I'm in a master's program. And literally, that's all I'll say. And usually, this is when they get pretty uncomfortable. They'll start asking follow-up questions. You know, usually it's, well, what do you plan to do with that? At which point, again, I'm not going to lie. I tell them, well, I'm going to pursue a PhD.
Right.
And I'm going to do research.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues this way, like usually follow-up questions, and he either starts to slowly disappear or he says he'll call and he never will.
What's your field of study? Maybe that's what it is. Is it molecular biology or something?
No, it's psychology. So
That doesn't seem intimidating.
Yeah.
Unless you start to analyze them.
Yeah, and see, I'm not, I go on and explain, I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm not looking to analyze anyone. I really just do research.
Mm-hmm. By now, the guy's thinking, what's clinical mean? I need to go look that up.
Let me ask you this, Amber, and I'm gonna ask for you to guess, because there's no way to know. But in the exact same situation, you meet a guy. There appears to be some mutual interest going on. If you had answered in a different way, if you had said, "Oh, you know, I'm a personal trainer," or "Oh, I'm a real estate agent," or whatever it is, something that doesn't automatically go, "Hey, this person is super smart." Do you think that the relationship would progress differently from that point? You honestly think it's the fact that you're studying so much that is a turnoff to the guys you're meeting?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've actually tried this before.
Oh, great.
Since I do research, I just thought I'd try. Well, you know, what if I lie and say I'm a personal trainer?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I get a very, very different response. Suddenly the guy's really into me.
Well, yeah, you're all bendy.
Yeah, you're bendy.
It's because of the bendy factor, right?
We're going to take calls from girls who agree with Amber, who believe that the fact that they're smart is running men off.
Could it just be that you sound too freaking busy?
Maybe. I mean, I haven't been able to tease apart what exactly it is. I just know as soon as I say, hey, I'm in grad school, suddenly they're like, just not as interested.
That's really interesting. How old are you, Amber?
I am now 27.
27. And you haven't had a boyfriend? You've been hoping to have a boyfriend and it just hasn't happened for the last few years? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, I've had one boyfriend in high school, and I've dated some, but I haven't had a boyfriend since then.
All right, I don't know what the problem is, but I do know that it's not that you're too smart.
Why do you say that? That could very well be it, though, Kevin.
Because
we're trying to find out.
Because I don't think guys are scared off by girls who are smart. Are they? My wife's smarter than I am. I'm cool with it.
I think it depends on how...
everyone is smarter than you are.
Yeah, that's not, I just have to get used to that.
To some extent, it probably depends on how smart they are. Like, if she were studying something where you couldn't even begin, like, she starts talking about
quantum physics
theory.
Or something.
Yeah, right. You're probably out.
Right.
But this doesn't strike me as something that's so intimidating.
Right. So is it the way she says it?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm a grad student.
But Amber doesn't sound like that.
Well,
we've been talking with her for 5 minutes.
She might to the guys.
Amber, to me, sounds like a great catch. I'm puzzled by this.
Yes, I'm going for my PhD.
No, and it's not like I go around flaunting it. I really don't bring it up until he asks. I don't sit there in my I'm pursuing a PhD t-shirt. And I'm not, you know.
Although you have it.
No, I don't.
All right, let me ask you this question, Amber, and then we're gonna let you go, and you can listen to what the other women in your situation are gonna tell us coming up here in a moment. But if you had to guess, your conclusion is that it's the guys are turned off by you being in studies and maybe being too smart for them. If you had to guess that it could be something else, what do you think that something else would be? Is there anything else you could think of that it might be instead? If it's not your looks, what else could it be?
Honestly, maybe I thought that maybe it's just an element of a success. They think that maybe you're just going to be more successful, and that's kind of threatening.
The guys that you meet, I mean, what do they do generally?
Usually I run into guys that are doing like real estate or they're selling cars. I have yet to run into somebody else that's in school, so maybe that's part of the problem.
If only you could meet someone at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, why aren't you dating students?
Well, I don't think I should be dating undergraduate students, first of all, but that would be inappropriate given that I'm kind of in a position where I'm teaching there. Mm-hmm. But there is actually someone in my program that I've been, you know, kind of flirting back and forth with. But again, like, he's taken no initiative. It's pretty clear that we both like each other, but he hasn't done anything about it.
Interesting.
Something else wrong with you. What is it?
Christian writes in, never date a woman studying psychology. Never. It has nothing to do with her being smart. It has to do with the guys hitting on her being smart, staying away. I don't know what he means
by
that.
There might be something to that.
So the psychology
is,
I just don't want to get involved, huh?
Maybe.
All right. Very interesting, Amber. You have definitely opened up the topic for us. I'll be curious to hear other ladies who have had similar experiences, and maybe we can figure this one out. But thanks a lot for listening to Kevin and Bean Show, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Just spoke with Kevin Bean listener Amber, who says that the fact that she is studying for a PhD is a turnoff to guys that she meets, and she thinks that maybe guys don't want to date smart girls. We're going to take some calls from women in similar situation here in a moment. First, though, a couple of emails. Tom writes in, my wife has a master's degree in psychology. I get talked to all the time like I'm a 10-year-old, so stay away from that. Mario writes in, most smart women, in my opinion, are arrogant about their intelligence or are too ready to prove that they are just as smart as any man. That's what causes men to want to run screaming. It's not their intelligence at all. Lindsay says, Amber is single because she's a bitch. I got my MBA at age 22. I've had no trouble with men. And Allie writes in on the Facebook page, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, smart women make men fear an independent woman and they don't feel needed.
And I just saw an email from Karen, who was able to own her own home by the age of 29, which I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
She's really smart and really successful. And
right.
I think you have to separate those two things out, because if you make a ton of money because you're smart, that can be intimidating. The fact that you make a lot of money.
I think it can be if you make it that. But
no, I think a lot of men have trouble with that more than that you're smart.
My natural reaction is to be childish, like a lot of the guys that I'm hearing from. I got this tweet, blah, 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 two words, donkey punch.
Oh, come on.
That's just rude.
Of course.
Let's
not to,
look, we don't even know what she looks like. We're all judging her on what she looks like. We don't have any idea.
I'm going to assume she's an attractive person.
You assume that.
I absolutely think that she is. Let's talk to Laura real quick on line three.
All right.
She says that men shut down as soon as she starts talking about what she does that makes her smart. Hey, Laura, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm an attorney, and I have had multiple experiences where you meet somebody and they either immediately are turned off or they feel the need to explain what it is that they're doing in their life that would justify continuing to talk to them.
That's an insecurity of the guys, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes, I completely agree.
Guys, I think, have a basic understanding that girls are smarter than them to begin with. Like, to start with, that's where the guys are starting.
Yeah.
So then if you're a lawyer, now I have to justify why you would spend time with me. You're saying
that's interesting. So it's inequality out of the gate that kind of makes them off balance a little bit, huh?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's unfortunate I don't come across, you know, in a particularly aggressive manner at all, but I've found multiple men have found it necessary to tell me, oh, I'm thinking of going back to school, or I'm thinking of doing this. Like,
if the guy asks if you want a drink, do you say asked and answered?
I will tell you that it would be intimidating to know you would never win an argument if you go out with you, though, right?
That's
Laura?
True.
I date a lawyer, and it's a pain in the ass.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Really? Because they're good arguers.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate that. Let's try Leonora real quick. She's on line six, and she is in a similar situation to Amber in that she is studying, working on a master's degree right now. Leonora, welcome to the show.
What's happening, Leonora?
Hey.
What's going on there?
She's smart but klutzy.
Yeah, you need some help?
Hey, good morning.
Sounds like your house is falling down. Go ahead.
What's happening?
Well, I am a very attractive 50-year-old. Okay. I look about 38,
nope.
37. Yes,
First of all, nope. Wow. But let's move on and let you have a little fantasy. Go ahead.
You know, all my boyfriends in the last year have been 30 or 33.
Okay.
Well, good for you.
No. I'm just saying, okay, I'm very smart. I have a master's. I have the credential, the teaching credential. And I have it all. I'm interested in politics. I also, guess what? I personal train.
Right.
Okay, so I do it all.
Right.
I get a lot of guys.
I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay.
I just finished a 14-year marriage. Okay, my marriage basically coincided with your.
But what are you saying?
What's your point here?
What is your point?
This is
where I miss the lawyer.
Your point is?
My point is that I am very smart, and I have a hard time staying interested in men because they can't keep up.
Yeah.
I have a lot of it. I go to theater. I go to plays.
All right, you're the best.
I think this is not the topic.
You're the best.
Exactly.
Take it easy. You rule. Okay. No, the topic is you're terrible on the phone, and they don't want to date you because of that. But thank you very much.
Overruled.
I'm sure Leonora is lovely, but I don't know that what she's saying relates to what we're talking about.
She was just calling to
I think that's what it is. All right. Well, we're out of time because we have a very busy
what
show.
What have we learned?
I don't think we've learned anything, actually. As usual.
That's good enough.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's the owner of the Gallery 1988 Gallery. Wait, I could have said that better.
No, that's good.
That was a moment with Bean.
Sweet.
Good times. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday on the world famous K-Rock. Let me try it again. Gallery 1988 is at 7020 Melrose Avenue, Los Angeles. Jensen Karp runs the thing, don't you know? And he joins us to talk about what I think our listeners will really enjoy going up on the walls tonight. Hey, Jensen, welcome back, my friend.
Hey, what's going on? I realized the last time we talked, we were on the phone about Kanye's Donda, and I'm just so happy that he did so many good things with Donda already.
That's true. Yeah, he certainly was committed to it 1,000% on that first night and then never mentioned it again, right?
Never again.
But, he's an idea man.
Yeah, but for you, I'm watching and I'm keeping tabs for you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. Jensen is a man of many hats. He's a successful podcaster. He also runs this gallery. We'll talk about that. He is the official hip-hop correspondent for the Kevin and Bean Show. But when I saw Weird Al was involved and actually is going to be in the gallery tonight, the first thing I thought is, can you tie him up and kidnap him and hold him for me so that I can own him?
Do you want to own him? I thought maybe we can start the Super Bowl push and just hold him until Super Bowl, then have him perform at the halftime.
I think that's probably more likely than being able to own him.
Well, I mean, you do. I bought a lot of stuff at the gallery over the years. Is it possible Weird Al is for sale this year?
That would be the best piece in the gallery for sure.
Just walk by him. Just walk by him and put a little price tag on his back.
I mean, you know him, I assume it's like I've met so many people that have been my idol since I was a kid, and they're always usual letdowns.
Yeah.
This man is the nicest human being.
Yes, he is.
And
he is
literally exactly what you want him to be, and it's been such an honor to work with him at the gallery. So it's been super fun.
Yeah, tell me how this happened. Yeah, I know that he had been on your wish list for a long time. Is this
long
thing
time.
On is the name of the showing tonight. It's not just about Weird Al, but how does Weird Al factor into it, Jensen?
Well, this is actually our second annual Is This Thing On, and it basically has 100 artists reinterpreting and creating pieces influenced by their favorite funny people. So you'll have paintings, prints, sculptures, one-of-a-kind plush, all these things about people like George Carlin, Steve Martin, Bill Murray. I mean, it's Patton Oswalt, Sarah Silverman. It just really runs the gamut.
I'm sorry, did you say Patton Oswalt?
Patton Oswalt has pieces in our gallery. He does. People have created art based on Patton.
So if you're a huge fan of, you know, any of the people you mentioned or Conan O'Brien or whoever it is, you can buy an original piece of art to hang on your wall to kind of show your fandom.
Totally. And that's what the whole gallery is based in, is like we laugh at these galleries that put like little red dots on a canvas and say it's worth $50,000. I mean, we create things that are that sort of speak to the average pop culture fanatic like myself and you guys.
And we can afford?
What is it?
And we can afford?
And we can afford. That's a major goal. And basically this year what we did is we spoke with Al, and it's going to be the 30th anniversary of his first album next year. So we convinced him to let us create a career retrospective print set of screen prints, all hand-done and numbered by the artist. And they're all representing his biggest hits from over the years. So there's a print based on Eat It, a print based on Fat, a piece based on Dare to Be Stupid, and they're all $35. And that's it. And once they sell, you know, there's only, there's 200 of them. Once those 200 sell, they'll never be printed again.
And they're beautiful pieces too. And let me tell you, I'm not getting anything to say this, but you know, I have bought a lot of things from the gallery over the years. And the stuff that I don't buy that's already framed, I go out and get framed and put it on the wall. And it's just it gives me so much pleasure to see it there and know, you know, and know how special it is.
Is that where you got the naked O.J. Simpson that you have hanging in your bathroom?
No, that didn't come from Jetson, actually.
Okay,
that came from a place of love.
He has that, and I'm not kidding.
I love the Like a Surgeon print, by the way, where they've made Al look like the old game, the operation game that you play, and then it has all the various things that have to do with his career that you can use in the print. I mean, it's so awesome. I mean, where do you find all these artists? Do people constantly submit their stuff to you and say, please show me in your gallery?
Totally, yeah. I mean, we've been on the corner of Melrose and La Brea here in Hollywood for 8 years now. So most of the people that we show are sort of from our gamut, from our group of artists we've been showing since the beginning, but we add about 10 to 15 artists per show, new people that we learn from the internet or submissions, and people like Phantom City Creative, which is the artist that you were talking about that did the Like a Surgeon operation game for the Al retrospective set. I mean, we just heard about them on the internet, so we're always looking and sort of always searching for new people.
Well, it sounds like a great event, and if going to an art opening is not something you would ever consider doing,
That's me. I would never do that.
But a show like this, Kevin, you would recognize everybody in the pictures, and the art is great, and Weird Al himself is going to be there, and it's going to be happening tonight at the Gallery 1988, starting at 7 o'clock, from 7 until 10 o'clock with host Weird Al. And you can get more information at the website gallery1988.com. Follow Jensen on Twitter at JensenClan88. The only guy in 2012 still having the word clan in his Twitter name. I appreciate that.
Well, you know what? I went with the C because obviously K would be racist.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
I mean, it looks insane. I've been to a lot of high school parties when I was in high school and college, and the worst thing that ever happened at my house was there was a cigarette burn in my mom's couch, and she got mad at me. That was it.
Oh, no. No, you didn't.
Did he buy that story from you right on the spot?
He did.
Because that's a crazy movie,
the sequel.
Right?
That's
crazy.
Project XI.
Yep.
It occurred to me last night, Ralph, tell me if you think this is a fair assessment, is that Beer Mug is the Coney of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fair.
Wouldn't you say that's accurate? Because he's killed comedy millions of times over and over again.
That's I'm not sure it's the same.
Yeah.
Close to me.
Overruled.
LaQuisha talks about last night's Jersey Shore on MTV. That's coming up. First, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have my final passes to give away to Casa de Mi Padre, the new Will Ferrell comedy. It's going to be the red carpet world premiere at the Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood on March the 14th. I will be in attendance. I want you to come join me. Five winners will get a pair of passes. But, of course, you got to earn them. And I want to give this to some fans of Will's that are hardcore. So here's your trivia question for today. Will, of course, wildly successful on Saturday Night Live and his many motion pictures. But some people forget his short foray into the world of animated comedy. If you remember the name of the animated comedy that Will starred in, call now, 1-800-520-1067. He played the father of what animated comedy family? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you're one of the five callers who get through with the correct answer, you get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Casa de Mi Padre. If you don't win, don't feel badly, because of the movies in theaters everywhere Friday, March the 16th. And speaking of Friday, March the 16th, Will be in here on our show on next Friday. We'll be hanging out. So,
have we determined if he's going to speak English?
I don't care.
I don't either, but I need to know.
We'll get a translator.
Okay.
We'll get a translator, Kevin. And if he speaks English, we'll get a translator for you as well. So.
Are you going to take a crash course in Spanish for the next 7 days? Is that why you need to know?
That's how I roll.
Kevin's okay. Like one of those method actors.
That's right.
When he gets a role, he just immerses himself and learns everything he can about the character.
I will be fluent by Friday.
He'll be fluent, yes. So I'm looking forward to that. Mucho gusto. Madman star Elizabeth Moss is in the news. She's doing a bunch of interviews because Madman's returning, you know, to television on the 25th. Can't happen soon enough.
This was a show from the 70s. This is a reunion show.
This was on right after the Mary Tyler Moore show, I think. They were going the same night, about the same time. Here's the thing. She's talking about Madman a lot. And so her marriage came up. You know, she was married to Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live for a short period of time.
Okay.
And apparently the breakup wasn't great, but I just think sometimes it's bad form to talk about your ex in the public. Elizabeth was talking to the New York Post about him and said, he's so great at doing impersonations, but the greatest impersonation he does is that of a normal person.
Ooh.
Oh, snap! Apparently they haven't stayed in touch after their 11-month marriage ended last year, so maybe that's why. There's a little hostility there.
So not all celebrities remain best friends.
Yeah, they usually say we're going to remain the best of friends.
That's good.
Sammy, the sweetheart Giancola from the Jersey Shore, is speaking to the press about Snooki's pregnancy. She said Snooki will be a fun parent.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That's what kids need, is fun parents.
That's what you want. She's saying everyone should just chill out over Snooki's pregnancy. It's not like she's 16 and pregnant. That's true. Well, in a way, she is, because 16 is her IQ. It is like 16 and pregnant.
That's true.
When asked what Snooki will do for her wedding, she said she may have a zebra or cheetah print themed wedding. Ah, always the classy young flower. Looking forward to my invitation coming for that wedding sometime soon.
I'm sure it's on the way.
Woof. Good news. The 1 million moms have dropped their formal protest against JCPenney because they hired Ellen DeGeneres as their spokeswoman.
Thank God.
Last month, famously, the group tried to get Penney's to drop her because she is openly gay. They tried to put pressure on JCPenney's. To their credit, Penney's refused to cave. Barely even acknowledged them, quite frankly. And Ellen talked about it on her daytime talk show, saying, the haters are my motivators. So really, it kind of blew up in their face, and now they have announced they are dropping their protest and are moving on to other issues.
Nice job, JCPenney.
Which, by other issues, they mean we'll be attacking other gay people. So yeah. They got that to go for them.
In 2012, they're still attacking people because they're gay, by the way.
It is
sort
just
of stop and think about that. It washes over us because we hear it so frequently, but really stop and think about the mentality of a person who would do that at this point.
But this is one of the first times publicly where we've seen a company say, oh, well,
yeah. We're
going to do it anyway. Usually they cave immediately, and that is frustrating.
And that's what encourages these groups to keep doing it.
JCPenney said, whatever with you.
Yeah.
And they went away.
If you laugh at these clowns, then invariably they will put their tail between their legs and go away, because they don't have any sort of staying power when it comes to this stuff. They're like, you show them a shiny object and they look for the next person to attack and to put pressure on. So.
Well, eventually, hopefully, those people will die out.
Good for you, JCPenney.
I agree.
From now on, I'm buying all my pennies there.
I don't think what do they sell?
They don't sell pennies.
Well, they should change their name then, because it's very confusing. Tonight, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show, at a special Friday night show up at the City Walk. John Lovitz Comedy Club up on Universal City Walk, 10 p.m. tonight. We'd love to have you come join us. You can go to thelovitz, LOVITZ.com for details and for tickets. But join Kevin and I, and then next week, of course, it's our big St. Patrick's Day show.
So this week Friday, next week Friday.
Next week Saturday. Saturday, St. Patrick's Day, the 17th. Saturday night, the actual evening of St. Pat's.
Oh, I thought you said it was Friday.
It is tonight. Tonight's Friday. Next week is Saturday.
That's going to be ridiculous next week.
I will be so drunk.
Ralph gets funnier times 3 when he's drunk.
I, of course, will be wearing green, and I think Kevin may have something green with him as well that evening. I don't believe he'll be wearing it, however.
Give him the breathalyzer!
As Jack Nicholson would say, wrong verb. Aaron, I think on line four, is our winner. He knew the trivia question. I asked about Will Ferrell. I asked hardcore Will fans what animated comedy Will starred in. Aaron, do you know the answer?
Yes, The Oblongs.
The Oblongs, indeed. He played the father of the Oblong family with no arms and no legs. Very entertaining comedy. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Casa de Mi Padre at the red carpet world premiere at the Chinese Theater on the 14th.
Cool, cool, cool.
Also going are Chris and David and Yvonne and Paul. So we'll see all you guys there. And we'll see Will next Friday when he comes into the show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Fiorentino is 52 years old today. Shannon Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars. I almost made it 50 seconds. I almost made the trip longer than it needed to be.
Yeah,
he
not
is
that far.
42 years old. C. Miller, formerly C. Murder, the rapper, is 41. Emmanuel Lewis, who is Webster on television, is 41 as well. Kerr Smith, who was in Dawson's Creek, 40 years old. Chingy celebrates his 32nd birthday. I have no reason to mention Chingy's birthday other than I love the fact that I get to say Chingy. It's one of my favorite words. 32. Brittany Snow is 26 years old, and rapper Bow Wow is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm a little bit nervous. He won't tell us why, but Ralph says we need to carve out some time for him coming up next in about 15 minutes.
Love
or so.
That.
He's got some tape he wants to play, he says. And he never brings in tape because it makes us look good, does he?
Oh, God, no.
That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, LaQuisha joins us to talk about last night's Jersey Shore. How are you, my dear?
I could not be happier.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That's so refreshing to hear from you. Usually you're bitching and moaning when we talk to you.
Because there's one more week left of Jersey Shore, and then you can kiss my ass goodbye.
LaQuisha, forgive me if I am misstating this, but you're the one that wanted to cover Jersey Shore.
I wanted to cover reality television.
Right.
Because I like to watch a lot of it.
Dumb white people.
That's
I remember.
I love dumb white people.
Okay, so this, you should be like a pig in slop.
5 years of this is a goddamn
all right.
enough.
Okay, all right. I hear you.
No, you don't hear me.
I hear you. It's enough.
I don't like it.
Right, I got you.
And this episode was no better. Because they build up all year long, oh, situation's going to tell Snooki's boyfriend that they cheated behind his back, and, oh, the truth will be unveiled, and what's going to happen, and fighting and killing and murder and mayhem. Well, the situation finally sat down with Gianni at the beginning of this episode and looked him in the eye and told him the truth about what would happen between him and Snooki.
Snooki cheated on Gianni with me, and now it's time to set the truth free and see what happens.
I'm trying to make this, like, really quick and, like, painless as possible because I think you're a good-ass kid.
Yeah, he wants to make it as painless as possible.
That's why he's been teasing it all season?
That's why he's been threatening to talk about it and tells this guy to his face that his girlfriend orally made him happy.
Right.
He don't want to make it painless as possible.
No, of course not.
He wants to make it painful as possible.
You know, he could say nothing.
Well, that's right. He'd keep it to his damn self. But now the truth is out, and Gianni looks him in the eye and does nothing. Goes back to sleep.
Wait, there's no fight?
Okay, goes back to sleep.
What?
Yeah, because Gianni tells Nicole, Snooki, when he sees her, oh, this is what situation has told me. But don't worry, honey, I don't believe him.
Oh.
I believe you.
What an idiot.
But you would never sleep with somebody else, except for Vinny, of course, in Italy, when you slept with him and then told me over the phone.
This guy's an idiot.
He is a moron! And Snooki couldn't be happier!
Gianni should believe my story because I'm telling the truth. And if he did believe Mike, I'd be like, okay, you believe a stranger that you don't even know and not your girlfriend.
That's right.
That's right.
Except I'm telling you the truth as far as you know.
But she's not is
no,
the only problem with that statement.
That's the only problem. And you know how we know it's not the case? Because she's still angry at the situation. Yeah, Gianni isn't, but she's all upset at him because he's telling the truth.
I'm sure in a couple weeks we'll make up and we'll be friends. And
actually, no, because I want you to go die and ride a hole.
That's not very nice, Nicole.
That isn't very nice.
Was that to die and then rot in a hole?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Effing okay. Die and then rot in a hole.
All right.
I think that's probably...
Because how they got into this trouble in the first place.
Yeah. No.
It was a rotting hole. Now, situation thinks maybe if they can withstand this, Gianni and Nicole, that they do have a chance to stay together.
Because he's concerned with the strength of their relationship?
That's right.
Yeah.
They may be right for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it, and I'll tell you, this is the only damn time I'll ever say this. Situation make a pretty funny joke about this.
They're meant to be. He took it on the chin just like she did.
Oh, 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 oh.
Out.
That, what you just heard, is the highest compliment an Italian can give another Italian.
Yeah.
The Italian laugh is like this. Ho, 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 oh, hey, oh, whoa, hey, oh, whoa, hey, oh. That's the highest compliment an Italian man can give another one. Oh, hey, oh. Well, Snooki believes that they're meant to be together, too. In fact, now we know she's pregnant and engaged, but back when they did this episode, even then, she was dreaming of the day she would become Mrs. Gianni.
Me and Gianni are getting married, I feel, when he proposes. And I don't know when that is, but he better do it, like, within the future.
Why narrow it down so much?
He better not propose to her in the past. That will be unacceptable.
I will be very upset if he doesn't do it in the future.
She missed it.
If he proposes in like the 50s or something, that would be a shame. He better do it within the future.
She's so deliciously stupid.
She is magical. Well, in this episode, guess what happens?
They fight?
Yeah. But then they all go out to a bar and a club and they drink and dance.
Wait,
are you kidding?
They drink and dance? And
yeah.
Do they get drunk?
They get drunk.
No
and
way.
You know what the guys do at the club?
What?
Hit
on chicks?
Girls.
They pick up girls?
Yeah, yeah.
And the situation finds a girl. This is too easy for this guy now. I don't like it. This girl just comes up to him and just offers herself up to the situation.
A beautiful girl comes up to you and says, "Hey, my boyfriend of 9 years has just cheated on me, and I want to f*** you." Well, guess what? I'm down. This is like the best revenge you could ever get.
Yeah, situation says that's the best revenge you could ever get on your boyfriend. Really?
Yeah.
That's like somebody saying they don't like your color nail polish. And so to get revenge on them, you chop your hand off. Seems like it's really more punishment on her than it is her boyfriend.
Yeah.
She sleeps with him.
That's true.
But she does it. And because they're running out of things to do with the cast of the Jersey Shore on MTV, this week they send them camping.
What?
Don't they seem like the type of people to enjoy camping? Dina, for example, she is not pleased to be out in the woods of New Jersey.
So we're going Guido camping. I'm a little nervous because we are, like, legit in the woods, on dirt, with bugs. Oh, my God, the wilderness! This is the wilderness, right?
Yes, it counts. It counts as the wilderness. There's dirt and bugs. What was she expecting for the camping experience to be like?
She just wanted to make sure it was the wilderness.
Like, four-star accommodations, a jacuzzi, hot tubs, and Egyptian sheets? Yeah, camping, you sleep in the dirt, and there's bugs that crawl on you. That's the way it works.
That's how it works.
And they're probably about 1,000 feet from downtown Secaucus or something.
That's,
you know, it's
right.
Not exactly like they dropped him from, you know, in Africa from a helicopter.
Now, the situation, he's out of his head while they're camping. He gets all the wood he can. He gets, like, green bushes and wood and chopped wood and piles it in a big pile to make a giant bonfire. Looks pretty dangerous to me, and it looks pretty dangerous to Dina, too.
Mike, put down the freaking fire. He's like one of those people, a hermaphrodite or whatever it is.
He's one of those people that are crazy about fire, hermaphrodites, you know?
That sounds just like pyromaniac.
That's what the technical term is for a person obsessed with fire.
Oh, my God.
That means I'm a hermaphrodite.
That's right, Kevin. You are a hermaphrodite.
That's a shock.
You love to set fires. You are Aphrodite.
That is so great. Wow.
Oh, my God.
And the situation, Z is very unnerved being out there in the woods in the dark by himself because, you know, he's a city boy. He's not used to be out in the wilderness. It scares him a little bit.
Anything can happen in the woods. I definitely feel vulnerable. I mean, Jason could come out. Anything.
Oh, dear God.
That's not real, Sitch. Apparently, LaQuish had enough. No, she's hung up.
You hang up?
LaQuish.
LaQuish. He really thought that Jason was going to come get him, is what he said. Jason doesn't attack hermaphrodites. You're fine. All right. Well, we lost LaQuisha, I guess, but we'll try her again next week for the season finale of Jersey Shore here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
If she's smart, she are. 6.7 KROQ at 944.
Yeah. Hey, is your foot loose over there?
A lot of our listeners have been emailing saying that it's, in fact, inspirational to hear how bad I was and that I was able to still continue my career in show business because it gives them hope that maybe they can succeed as well.
Well.
Yeah.
It
Williams.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the show.
That was the first beatboxing. A lot of people don't know. That's where it came from. Beatboxing. Came from B.
It's only inspirational if they want to get into radio. Because I can't think of any other profession where you could be that bad and continue to fail up.
Look at me.
That's what I'm saying. The two of you.
Just radio.
I like the Forrest Gump of radio. You just keep falling into situation after situation. And now here you are. Top of the heap. A number one. King of the hill.
I'm not sure where all that.
Yeah.
I wish.
Denise Williams.
By the way, the and the they're a staple.
Consistent.
Apparently.
Yes. Consistent. Look, he's an artist. He likes to keep the mainframe of the joke alive, but then he mixes
it up. I'm
going
to stick with and
And those will be like the foundation. And then I'll build on those.
I need a
I'll ask Lee Chambers if his foot is loose. And then I'm going to do my drum beat riff.
I'm a freak. Denise Williams. I'm a great jazz artist. The melody stays the same, but I improv along the way.
You go off on your improvisational riffs, just like
Miles Davis. Dean, I respect you totally.
That was awesome.
I'm surprised they haven't asked you guys to be judges on The X Factor.
What?
That's where the big-time celebrities go. They could use your input, your years of experience. Instead, looks like they're going with Britney Spears.
Oh.
She hasn't been on TV since her days on the Mickey Mouse Club. Well, if you don't count that horrendous reality show she had with her husband.
That was
terrible. Unwatchable.
That's where I got that clip from.
What was that called? Brit-tastic or nauseous or what was it?
It was one word.
Fantabulous. Unwatchable.
I don't remember.
Unrealistic.
Email Ralph at krock.com.
Doomed Marriage. What was the name of that show?
The name of the show was...
it was named after her album. It came out around the same time as the album, didn't it?
Her
perfume and everything else. It had some tie-in. Fantabulous. Lascivious. Lancashire.
Oh, there it is. I got it. Okay.
What?
I was not going to tell us.
Boy,
what a
it sure feels
dick.
Good to know it, though, I'll tell you, because it was driving me crazy not being able to come up with it.
That's what it was called.
It was called Chaotic.
Chaotic.
Chaotic. It was on the UPN back when there was a network called UPN, by the way.
That's right. Chaotic. Ugh. Anyway, looks like the Hollywood Reporter is telling us she's close to signing the deal. It's currently in the final negotiation stage and could be signed as soon as next week. She'll be on that show with L.A. Reid and Simon Cowell, and they'll be judging people. Wonder if she'll judge the lip-syncing portion of the talent competition. Because I can't remember the last time she sang live.
Yeah. The other judges will just take a break, and then she'll sit in on the lip-syncing.
No, y'all. Singing live's hard. That's why I don't do it.
And she has about as weak a voice as any pop singer ever has.
She sure does. But she's got the name, and I'm betting you people will tune in to watch.
Yeah.
At least for the first couple weeks, then we'll see what happens. Rihanna's dad is talking out of turn about her relationship with Chris Brown. Did an interview with Heat magazine, and Ronald Fenty, Rihanna's dad's name, said Chris Brown is a nice guy, and everyone's entitled to make mistakes in their life.
That's not a mistake.
You know what mistake you're not allowed to make?
Yeah.
If you're me, hitting my daughter. That's the one mistake you're not allowed to make, because that'll be a fatal mistake.
Yes. But her dad... fine with it. He made a mistake.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt. He also said the last time he saw Rihanna during a visit to her native Barbados, where he lives, I actually thought she was a little fat, he said in the interview.
Oh my gosh.
He's a peach, her dad.
When I saw her
he's great.
At this year's Grammys, I thought she finally went back to her normal size. What was that?
I thought she was fat. What dad would say that?
Ronald Fenty says in this interview.
Wow.
Who talks like that about their daughter?
Chris Brown made a mistake. Punching a girl in the face is not a mistake, people.
More from the world.
Oh, you think they should do it on purpose? That's what Kevin's saying?
Yeah, I don't think that's what he's saying.
Saying that you can't really just say you're sorry for that.
More from the world of bad showbiz parents. Whitney Houston's will has been read, and she leaves everything to her 19-year-old Bobby Christina Brown. Her ex-husband, Bobby Brown, gets nothing. Will was signed and dated 1993, the year her daughter was born, so I guess that's when she made the change. Here's how it breaks down. Bobby Christina gets a partial amount from the trust when she turns 21. She's currently 19. Then more will be released to her at the age of 25, and then the remainder at the age of 30. The creepy part of the will says if she doesn't make it to 30, then Bobby Brown and her brother and sister and some other family members get to split up whatever's left in the trust.
That's an odd thing to think about ahead of time.
Well, I guess you have to.
Well, I guess, but then
in any trust, because things happen, car accidents, whatever, you know, something you have to take into consideration all of the possibilities so that the money from that trust is already earmarked. So there's not some sort of, you know, shark feeding frenzy when the money comes up for grabs. You have to kind of take every contingency into account.
But now isn't Bobby going to be hoping?
Oh, stop it.
I'm saying.
Him and Ronald Fenty will be getting together in the Bad Dads Club.
I'm just saying.
Plotting his own daughter's murder so he can cash in.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's creepy on many levels. Heard LaQuisha talking about Jersey Shore when you guys hung up on her. And
we thought she hung up on us.
I think you hung up on her.
Oh.
Sammy is talking about Snooki's pregnancy and impending nuptials, saying everyone should just chill out about her pregnancy. It's not like she's 16 and pregnant. Plug for another MTV show, by the way. She will be a fun parent, she says to E! News. That's what you look for in a parent.
That's really not what you want.
Oh, no, that's what you look for in a party clown. I'm sorry. My bad. I get those two confused all the time.
They won't have to hire a party clown.
That's true.
They do have that going for them.
Regarding the wedding, Sammy says she can see Snooki having a cheetah or zebra print themed wedding. Talk about your ugly bridesmaid dresses. Although her bridesmaids will probably look forward to wearing a cheetah bridesmaid wet dress.
But I guarantee that Snooki is spending a lot more time thinking about the zebra prints at her wedding than she is about actually being married.
Or the baby.
Or the baby. Yep.
Well, let me restore your faith in love and romance by telling you about Frida Pinto and Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire.
I'm sorry, from what?
Slumdog Millionaire. Oh, Slumdog Millionaire.
Good, thank you.
They have very quietly been chalking up one of the most successful relationships in Hollywood.
That's really nice.
They've been dating for the last 3 years. They met on the set of that movie, and now apparently, according to Us Weekly magazine, they're talking about getting married sometime within the next year.
Way high.
She's a stunning, stunning girl and a very, very good actress as well. Mm-hmm. And he's a great actor, too. Doesn't work nearly as much as she does. And that's probably why he's hanging on to her.
Why they'll be divorced in 5 years.
I'm sure. Sure there's a lot of love between the two of them. He loves money.
Hey, they've been together 3 years. That's like a golden anniversary in Hollywood.
It is. It's unheard of. I guarantee they don't live in Hollywood, too.
That's true.
Right. They live in a slum.
In Mumbai.
They take baths in poo-poo. I saw the movie.
I doubt it.
A kid went and took a... right in the dumper. But it happens.
That was a movie. I don't think these two are doing that.
You don't think they're...
No, I don't think so.
Hanging out in the big dump bucket. They don't live at the Dump Bucket Arms.
I sure hope
the
not.
Worst hotel ever. All right, I'm out of here. No, I got birthdays to do, right?
Yes.
Okay, real quickly. I don't even tell you how old they are because it doesn't matter because everyone lies about their age. I'm going to tell you who was born on this day. Many people were born on this day.
You're a mess. You're
literally out of time, Ralph.
Okay.
You're a mess.
Happy birthday, everybody. I couldn't find the list, but happy birthday to all.
Hit the button. All right. Not that one.
What?
Yeah. Denise Williams.
Yeah. 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 Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Will Brenda be there?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netflix.
Just like the other one.
Glad they're out.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Drugs.
Why do kids take drugs? Because they're awesome?
No, maybe they just understand that life is pain, and if you smoke something or take a pill, it'll go away for a while.
I'll drink to that.
Roll,
yeah,
yeah,
roll,
roll,
yeah,
another one.
Now we're rolling.
Yeah. Just like the other one.
That's not brown rice.
This one seems to be about to end.
goddamn line say, Tony? What is the goddamn line?
You're twittering.
Let's pass it around.
Not ever. No way.
How can you love it?
It's crap.
I'm over it, okay? I'm over it.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
It's true. You guys sucked ass.
Hello. I had such a nice time visiting Los Angeles. It's so many fancy people with the fancy lights. Oh. Hollywood. goodbye. Thank you for memories.
Y'all's a bunch of bitches. Later, nerds.
Get the hell out of my auditorium.
School's out.
Over and out.
Over and out, dudes. Is that what I was supposed to say?